The year of the Switchport, the year of the vinyl soundtrack, the year of the Battle Royale, another year of Mega Man Classic, and the year of the dog. I'm a year older, as was this show last month. Stay tuned for all this year's news, or at least this week's, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Episode number 738 for this July 22nd of 2018. Here to talk about video games with y'all, assembled in our live chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. We do tape live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. But you podcast folks out there can participate with us as well throughout the week through your emails, your tweets, and so forth. But tonight here in studio, it's me, Rob Roberts, or Sky on Twitter, S-K-I-E, joined as always by Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
You could go Sky.
Sky. Yeah. Actually, I'm giving serious thought to changing my Twitter name off of Sky, just because I don't really use that name at all. Like, that was the reason why that name comes from, like, DDR Freak, like, years ago. But I don't really use that name anywhere anymore. So, you know, because of things like this show that started after the DDR Freak days, or during, really, I think people just know me online as Rob Roberts at this point, so, you know, I probably should have some type of...
JD says don't do it because four-letter usernames on Twitter are rare.
That is true. I think if I do switch it, I will probably keep a sock account because the name I really want is Rob Roberts, but a spammer has it. So my thought is I'm going to hold the Sky account hostage until Rob Roberts is released. That's my Twitter thinking.
Going to keep Dark Sakura because people hate me for it.
Why?
Like complete strangers. You got the name I want. Good.
No, on Twitter, aren't you underscore OLR?
No.
No? Okay. No. I couldn't remember.
I'm Dark Sakura there because nice. I made that account when Twitter was new.
Yeah, we all got on Twitter pretty quick because, well, if you think a four-letter account is rare, follow the show on Twitter, OLR. We have a three-letter account there, and we constantly get tweets for, like, other things. It's like, pretty funny.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
But I still, though, my other one, Kuro Tsubasa, is... I decided, because I actually was spelling Kuro incorrectly for black, it just means crow wing. So.
Works. Sorry about last week. We weren't here last week, and that was completely my fault. Without getting into all the gory details, I had food poisoning. It was awful. Y'all have been there. I don't need to say anything else about it. But I'm fine now. Is like most episodes of that sort of thing, by the time 48 hours had passed, it was like nothing had ever happened. So it's just unfortunate that fell on Sunday night because I hate missing episodes. I hate not being here for y'all, but I know you all are understanding very much as well. And I hope you found some other good indie shows to listen to last Sunday night, or maybe some Twitch streamers, and probably played some games. I know there's a lot of you playing a lot of different games right now. We'll get into some of those during our gaming weeks in a minute, but I also have to introduce, of course, Techmaster Loki. How are you, Loki?
I'm fine.
Good.
I had a mediocre sandwich from Subway.
Yeah, well, Subway sandwiches tend to be pretty mediocre, but that's just my
opinion. I should have just gone to the one that's by my work because they know what I want there, and they don't even, they're like, you just have the same thing as normal? Yeah. And it comes out perfect. Like, this one was just... like 80% bread and like nothing, and she just like slapped everything on there, and it's just I could tell as she was making, like, this is going to be terrible.
Is it the Subway right near here? Because they're really bad.
No, it's the one right off the freeway by my house.
Okay.
Because
I made a
last minute change in what I wanted to get, and like I went originally to Cafe Rio, and then I was like, I'm confused at the calories of all the chips and salsa that you eat on there, because online it says it's 440 calories. On their menu board it says it's 1340 calories. So I'm like, that's a big discrepancy.
Depends how much you eat, I suppose. That Subway I think that you're talking about is right by where I used to work, and without giving away my whole life story here, but that used to be a Quiznos when it first opened.
Oh, so, man.
I know. Can you say downgrade?
I would rather be a Quiznos.
Are there any of those still around?
No.
I miss those. Those are good. Anyway.
We used to have one right around the corner from my house, and I used to go there all the time.
Meanwhile, while the rest of you are mourning Toys R Us and shit, I'm sitting here going, I miss my Quiznos sandwich, my toasted sandwiches. I'm like the only person that loved that toasted thing. Everybody else is like, that's
it was
weird.
Good, but then they'll toast it.
Subway stole it.
You it's Subway though. You toast their sandwich, and it's still garbage.
Quiznos toasted a sandwich like you would bake a pizza. It went through that slow conveyor belt. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was good, and like they put like. You know, I'd get a steak sandwich, and it had, you know, the rosemary parmesan bread with the nice sauce and, like,
drool
and the onions and everything, and it'd come through, and you're just like, I don't need you to do anything to that sandwich. Just cut it in half, and it's ready to go. It's just, it's perfect.
That is beautiful.
The problem is, like, I take that sandwich, and I go to Subway, and there's no amount of sandwich that they could give me that would equal to that sandwich. It's just, it's not the same. So, it's unfortunate.
All right. Enough food talk, but it wouldn't be OLR if we didn't deviate into food talk at some point. We are going to get into our kickoff topic, which, as we usually do after a week off, is getting into what we missed the week before. But let me quickly ask, did you guys do anything with the extra time on Sunday? Since I know, sorry, I had to do it kind of last minute, but you all know how it is. So did you guys get to do anything fun with your extra unexpected Sunday night off?
I played Pokemon Go and saw Ant-Man and Wasp.
Okay, cool. I figured some Pokemon Go might happen.
I stayed in my pajama, not wearing any pants.
Nice.
And then watched videos on YouTube with Dan.
Fell down a YouTube hole. That's always a fun way to waste.
Same thing yesterday. It was great because I had an unexpected Saturday off.
Oh, okay.
Because my schedule, our schedules start on Saturday.
Yeah.
So because I'm now on a training schedule for another department. Yes. I had yesterday off.
Nice.
And that's why I get to be for a whole show just about tonight.
Yay. Exciting.
Huzzah.
All right. Let's get into some of the topics for the show. So let's talk about some of the news that we missed last week when we were unexpectedly off. So talking about some Nintendo news. Apparently, Nintendo had made a comment about they're not yet at the point where they can announce the entire product lineup for the autumn. That was a quote that came out, which seems very strange because autumn's exactly not that far away. Now, we talked about this a little bit at the tail end of Bobby Blackwolf's show on the call. I do want to repeat a little bit of it. Usually, I would just tell you need to go listen to it to hear it, but I think part of what we discussed there was really important. I do need to repeat it. Because my theory on this whole why Nintendo is waiting forever on this online thing is that I think Nintendo is really pushing to get something really big out that's going to be digital only. So, and I think I talked about last show we were here, I thought something like NES Remix, but maybe bigger, something that's going to be download only, that is going to be a big flagship thing for the online service. And that they're really trying to push to get that out. And actually, Dark Soccer, you said Animal Crossing as kind of like an offhanded comment. And I was kind of like, well, I don't know if it would be that big. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think that's a completely off-base projection. You know, because I would think Animal Crossing is something that maybe deserves a retail release in a box. But Animal Crossing would also make a really great, like, online-only download type of thing. So I don't hate that idea actually at all.
I'd like an Animal Crossing MMO.
Yeah, and that could be something that, you know, is pushing the online. Anyway, my point is with this whole thing, whatever it is that they're working, because I don't want to get people's hopes up either. Oh, it's Animal Crossing. Maybe not. It could be, so, you know, again, think along the lines of NES Remix, something you just haven't thought of yet. But my thought is that they are really aggressively trying to get that out by October. But right now, Nintendo is in a phase where they're not sure if they're going to make it. So if they don't make it, then expect that Nintendo Direct to be, oh, it's the online classics and some little things, and we're all going to be sitting here going, that's it? That's what we were waiting for? But the hype of playing classics online will be kind of cool. But if Nintendo's able to make the timeline, then we'll get something really big. But if they miss October, obviously this big thing would just slip into 2019. We'd get it eventually.
Well, I'd be more curious, though, which games are actually going to use online services, because how many online – there's not a whole ton of online games, I think, on –
well, Splatoon 2 and Smash Brothers is obviously going to be the huge one.
Smash Brothers.
That's the one they're expecting everybody to
do. Third parties, Rocket League and
Mario Kart 8 is online.
Mario Kart 8, maybe a Fortnite.
Fortnite, absolutely Fortnite, yeah. So if you really sit down, I mean, maybe not Zelda Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey so much, although Mario Odyssey does have the online leaderboards, but you know, maybe not that stuff so much, but there's a fair amount of Nintendo titles at this point that are using
crazy, you know,
that are using the online. So anyway, some other things that we missed while we were gone. Speaking of Splatoon 2, there was a big 3.2.0 update with some bug fixes and some weapon and sub tweaks that happened. Let's see. The 80s arcade platformer Toki is getting a Switch release and a wooden arcade cabinet to go with that. Reggie Fils-Aimé talked about the Super Mario movie and potential other partnerships. In an interview with IGN, he said quotes like, "Certainly our focus from a Nintendo perspective, as well as working with such an accomplished partner like Illumination, is to make sure that what is created is something both fans will love, as well as it will be a great introduction to folks who are not as familiar with the world of Mario." So most of that is smoke and mirrors hype chat, but the interesting part of that to me is that they are making a movie that is geared towards people who may not know who Mario is, which to me at this point, who doesn't know who Mario is? Like, everybody, especially our age and younger, knows who Mario is. Even most folks probably about 10 years older than us, you know, so we're talking about like maybe when you start to
that's
get into like the 65 and older, they don't
that's
know who Mario
all
is.
My
all of them.
Kids do is they watch. I literally, my kids watch Super Mario Odyssey playthroughs all the time. I'm like, I asked my once, I'm like, why though? Because you beat the game. So why are you watching people play the game? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But my youngest son, who's not very good at the game, he's just watching people play the game. And yeah,
I really can't say anything about that because that's all I do on Twitch. I watch people play games.
Are they watching Mario Marathon?
No, they're watching just Mario Odyssey. Random YouTubers, whoever comes up in the YouTube Kids apps.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which I don't even know how it picks up Mario Odyssey because I don't think that they're actually typing anything in.
That's the YouTube market I should have aimed for to try to get more people to actually subscribe to my channel so I could, you know, like actually make money on Twitch. Is like, I should do playthroughs aimed at kids and use crazy voices.
No, it's not the crazy voices or anything. It's literally just the game that they're playing. It's not a YouTube app. It's just basically you have to think dumber because no, I'm not saying that kids are dumb. I'm saying they don't like at that age, they don't know how to read. Uh-huh. They don't like my son doesn't know how to read. I mean, he can sometimes recognize stuff, but he doesn't know how to read. He goes off pictures. And so,
sure,
you know, he likes Mario Odyssey because, you know, his brother plays it and I play it and he plays it too. And he sees a picture. Oh, Mario Brothers. And clicks on the picture, and then that's it. And it could literally be a streamer that's in another language that he can't understand a thing they're saying, but he's watching it because it's Mario, and he wants to watch Mario.
Okay, but so, I mean, I feel like you told this exact same story a year ago, but it was Minecraft.
Well, they still do that. In fact, my son went back to pop. He's still watching popular MMOs, which is a Minecraft. You know, it's a pair of streamers that will do Minecraft stuff, and so he's totally watching that. And then my kids like keeps talking about Hello Neighbor and stuff. I'm like, how do you know about these games? Like in Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff like that. I'm like, where are you watching this stuff?
So okay, before I let this go though, let me ask you guys and asking the chatters. Okay, so instead of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. Robert's Neighborhood. And it's video games.
You better teach them about love and that they're special.
I would at the end of the day.
I don't know, man.
And I would say, you know, don't bully the other kids. Don't be an asshole like your older boy. I guess I can't
say
that.
There's a fine line between coming off as a pedophile and coming off as a child.
And you are also not a Presbyterian minister, Rob. Just saying.
Well, I mean, I could join like the Universal Unitarian or whatever that thing is. You just pay $30
Unicornian?
Online. Unicornian. Sure, that works.
I like unicorns.
Wait, where's that Twitter meme? In this house, we worship unicorns.
That's it, Rob. Let's form a church because then we could get like a tax break. I'm serious. Let's form the Unicornian Church.
All right, I'm thinking about it. I'll have to look into that. Yeah, JD
well,
says,
in Alabama, there's the Church of the Great Green Frog. Sorry, they're Mississippi.
Flying
is it the Great
Monster.
Green Hypnotoad? Okay.
Pastafarian.
No, but they give you a get out of hell free card at conventions. I have one somewhere.
All right, anyway.
That'll come in handy.
JD said it's the Universal Life Church. It's the one where you pay a fee and can marry people. Yeah. I actually almost was going to do that for a friend's wedding, but then they were like, actually, we're going to have to like scale this whole thing back and do a courthouse wedding. And I was like, all right, you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, because I remember starting to go through the motions for that. So yeah. Rob Roberts, future minister, if you want a Rob Roberts wedding, Mr. Roberts' Neighborhood. Anyway, Reggie.
Reverend Roberts' Neighborhood.
Reverend Roberts. Oh my God, I sound like. Oh God, I sound like the type of. Reverend Roberts sounds like I ought to be like a gun owner. Actually, I think if you like Google Rob Roberts, like you don't always get me, but I think you get like a gun guy. And I'm like, Jesus, of course, of course. The most popular Rob Roberts is probably like a gun guy. All right, anyway. Moving on. Other partnerships, a quote from Reggie. We see ourselves as making worldwide consumers smile through our intellectual property. Fundamentally, we do that four ways. We do it with mobile. Do you? We do it with our licensed relationship with other companies like Kellogg's. We have other entertainment, which is where we put Universal Studios and Illumination. Then we have our dedicated video game business. This is a key part of our strategy. This is an area where we are having a range of conversations, just like we did for the other big two partnerships. When we have something to announce, we will. So maybe there will be other very large Nintendo partnerships to come in the future. Who knows? More news that we missed on the week off. Job listings at Sony talking about an unannounced PS4 and PC MMORPG. So could that be a Sony Online Entertainment game? Could that be like EverQuest 3 or something, or DC Universe 2? Or, I mean, something new would always be a great thing too, but certainly gets the head spinning on that. Also, other games, a PS4 arcade robot action game, a PS4 strategy RPG, and a multi-platform 3D fighting action game.
I like robots and action.
That's true. Robots and action, good things. Let's see, other things.
I like robots in disguise.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the TV show, which I'm surprised is actually still on.
I think they're almost done.
I was like, that's not a dig. That show is really funny, but it's been on a really long time.
It's the 13th season.
Like, they're all going to be as old as Danny DeVito was when it started. You know what I mean? It's gonna. Anyway, they're getting a mobile game out of that. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So.
Fuck yes, and I will play that mobile game. It's going to be garbage. It's just going to be like the Office Space game I have. But I will play that game. I've actually stopped playing the Office Space game, but I will totally play the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia game.
The company Mondo, this might be of interest to Dark Sakura. Mondo is releasing a vinyl soundtrack for Dracula X Rondo of Blood.
I need this in my life.
That's some. I guess they had some at San Diego Comic-Con. So
why isn't somebody getting me one?
But I guess there will be an actual release of this later.
I will have it and I will frame it because right. I don't have a record player.
I thought you might enjoy that. Also, Shenmue 1 and 2 HD, going to have some changes. The brand products will be gone. I'm sure that's no surprise to anyone. Those, you know, brand partnerships are long gone. And the load times will be cut. Well, that's good.
No, my long load times. God damn it. Man. I hate the future.
I'm going to miss those. Remember back in the good old days where you'd have to load *8,1, and then you have to sit there while it loads for 10 minutes off one side and then flip the disc over and it's got to load off the other side. Why can't we have that?
How many terabytes was that? Oh, it was 1 megabyte or not even.
It was okay. Loki, it was a Commodore. No, hold on. It was a Commodore 64.
64, hey.
64 kilobytes.
Apple IIe. Same code to run the damn games, and I was good at kicks.
Anyway, Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection International got a new trailer and release date, so the Japanese version will have the localized versions and the different names of the bosses in Japanese text. So Capcom giving in to the fan demands there, which is a good thing, I really think. And there will be an official guide for Mega Man 11, which is notable. It's the first Mega Man guide since 2006. So there you go. That's a little bit about what you missed last week when we had the night off with OLR. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been up to this week and maybe a little last week, too, in our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing. Dark Sakura, how about you?
Kirby, and then watching Mario Marathon, and then playing Pokemon Go. Because I feel bad that I'm not giving gifts to everybody, so I actually travel outside of my neighborhood to go hit Pokestops in my car driving under 20 miles an hour.
I see that as a good thing and a bad thing. You know what I mean? It's a good thing because it motivates you to get out of the house.
It's the Pokemon guilt.
Pokemon Go does not let me live my hikikomori fantasy.
But at the same time, I think you have to like let that obligation go a little bit. Like, Jamie, if I'm going to tell you right now, if you forget to send me a present one day, It's okay.
Bitch, you haven't opened my present for 3 days.
I can't.
You did it today, so I forgive you.
Okay.
But yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, it's, you know, I remember to take it out a little bit more often when I'm out and about. Like, you know, when I was at my delicious Thai lunch, we were by 2 Pokestops. So I did gyms. I raided by myself.
Good job.
When I went to a certain market that someone told me had those chocolates that I like, and I spent way too much money there.
Mm-hmm. My bad.
Right. And then, I don't know, I've just been kind of sitting back. I want to actually hook up my Steam Link. I don't think it's going to work in the room that we moved our CRT to, because we hooked up the CRT in the office so that I can start streaming stuff off the SNES.
Nice.
But I'm actually considering, because, and I'm not, but I'm actually considering streaming games that I don't want to play, if people will donate to my GoFundMe for my mom, because she got fired from her job, which we're pretty sure has to do with age and gender discrimination.
Yikes.
Because it's Alabama, which is a right-to-work state, which is just completely terrible.
There's no protection.
And on top of that, yeah, they actually broke some very things that would actually have their HR sued out here. They just flat out told her some garbage. So, so I got to keep my mom in her home for 3 more months until she gets her widow benefits. So if you want to see me play shit I hate.
Halo? Is Halo on the table?
Halo's on the table, but I'd have to play it over here.
All right,
so I'd come over on a Friday night.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it work.
Okay. Shoot, if we get donations by Friday, I might figure out how to get everything up and running.
All right. Get that going.
I'll put the link in chat.
I think the minute they see you up there streaming stuff, they'll be more inclined to make you play bad stuff. We'll see.
Well, I don't know. I'm planning on playing the Hive Swap dating sim, because I picked up all 8 episodes of it last night. Because I like dating sims.
I'm trying to think of what terrible game I really want Jamie to play. I got to really stew on this for a little bit. Anyway. All right. Other games in our gaming week. Loki, how about you?
Well, this week I went ahead because they had the whole Amazon Prime Days thing. So we decided to get a 4K TV. So we got a 4K TV. And then, of course, to go along with it, I traded in my PlayStation 4 for a PlayStation 4 Pro. And so now I have that hooked up. And I picked up Horizon Zero Dawn to play that. The problem, though, is because I have a 4K TV, the kids want to play Disney Infinity on it just for no reason, even though that doesn't benefit from 4K or the Pro at all. And then my wife keeps watching House on it House is just such a current and, a current show we haven't watched already. But whatever. So I have literally gotten to play Horizon Zero. I actually haven't gotten to play Horizon Zero Dawn. I got to watch part of the intro before the kids are like, I want to be Disney Infinity. I'm like, oh my fucking God. I just want to see what the 4K looks like already. So unfortunately, I haven't gotten to touch much in console gaming this week. It's mostly been Pokemon Go. I'm kind of disappointed. I still haven't even got to play my SNES Classic very much, even though I've modded the hell out of that. Because once again, I haven't been able to touch the TV. What I have been doing in place of playing games on TV is I don't know what prompted me to do this. I think I was looking, I remember now, because I wanted to start working on a third person shooter, to create a third person shooter, and I was kind of disappointed with what was available for Unity and kind of some of the lessons or whatever to kind of roll your own third person shooter engine type thing. And it just was not looking great. So I decided, hey, you know what? Maybe I should just work outside of Unity and look at some other engines. So I've been teaching myself Unreal 4 this week, and actually this week and last week. And so I've been going through some stuff in that, and I really like how the engine kind of makes things a little bit easier to make it look nice, and they have a lot of presets for, doing a first-person shooter or third-person shooter game and all that kind of stuff, because that's what the engine's for, so it makes sense. So I haven't really gotten into the programming yet. I've been actually teaching myself the blueprint stuff in the meantime, which it's a little bit getting used to, because I like sometimes just being able to type stuff in there instead of having to do all this arbitrary linking of stuff. But I still I like it. It's still pretty easy. And I was messing around with it and, you know, was able to build things that looked nice. So I do have something I'm working on that will be done probably this week. So it's just like as a, you know, finish something just to learn type thing. So there's that. Then once I finish something, I can say, shut the fuck up about me finishing something because it's done. See, there you go. Aaron, fuck off. You know, but I'm hoping to learn a little bit more with that because I think actually this might be a better option than Unity for me because it seems to, I don't know. I'll have to figure out what the strengths and weaknesses are. And then today, of course, you know, I'm a terrible, terrible, terrible game developer in the fact that I never use version control or source control or whatever. So I had to teach myself how to use
source. Those behaviors bite you in the ass.
I had to teach myself how to use source tree and Bitbucket today, or Bitbucket. So finally got that to work because even the lessons that I'm following, what they said to do didn't work. So I had to figure it out myself through the terminal, and I finally got that to work. But yes, I have source control now, so that's great. I'm doing all the right things.
Our pal Bobby Blackwolf says, I honestly think the blueprint stuff in UE4 will be better for Loki.
It is, but I do want to learn the C++ stuff as well. But honestly, I don't think that there's really any downside to using the blueprint stuff because optimization-wise, it's about the same. Whereas like in Unity, it can get fun. And it's just like even getting stuff to look nice in Unity is such a pain in the ass. Whereas Unreal is just fucking gorgeous out the... I mean, you can make crap, and it looks... It's so amazing looking crap. I mean, I like how easy that is. So I'm curious to see how this will go. So I'm optimistic. But I've been working on stuff.
All right.
I haven't let go of it. I do want to play some 4K gaming, and I want to try the PlayStation VR now that I've got something that'll, you know, output better. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right. My game of the week. Let's see. I've been playing Pokemon Go as well. Why not? I'll just add on to that. I participated in the Zapdos Day yesterday for a little bit. I had rehearsal for, which I guess I should give a cheap plug. Clue is finally happening this Saturday here in Sacramento at the Colonial Theater. So that's the big thing I've been preparing for. So we had a rehearsal. So I couldn't do the Zapdos the entire time, but I was able to do the first 2 hours. And in that time, we raided like 10 different things, and I did get a shiny Zapdos. So it was like one of the lowest possible appraisals, but I'll take it. It was fun. So, just trying to keep getting XP. Speaking of getting XP, I should mention this too. So not Pokemon Go, but Niantic's other game, Ingress. I hit level 16 on
Congratulations.
Friday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I finally
That is a big pain in the ass to do.
I hit the maximum possible level you can hit in that game. So it's similar to being 40 in Pokemon Go, but obviously they're different games. So So they kind of had an event going on. It just finished like 2 hours ago, but Niantic was like buffing the experience for Portal deploys. And so I was able to use that to my advantage. By going down like to the capital and stuff and deploying. So I actually timed it so that my last the thing that got me level 16 is I deployed on the state capital a Rezo 1 and a Rezo 6, and that gave me level 16. And yeah, super nerdy, right? So but that was cool. So big accomplishment. So I wanted to be one of the first players that got to 1640. So level 16 in Ingress and level 40 in Pokemon Go. But one of my buddies here locally from both those games actually just hit 40 in Pokemon Go this past week. And so it made him the first player in Sacramento who's a 1640. So I hope to follow in his footsteps. I'll probably be working.
I'm still waiting to level up from whatever level I'm at because I'm already like 2 million over the cap.
Oh, yeah. It's like a badge. You're locked in with badges.
Yeah, I'm locked in with badges. So, I just don't care. Yeah, it eventually will come, but just.
Yeah, when it's ready. That was my AR gaming. And then when the Harry Potter game comes out, I'm going to try to get max level in that, assuming the game is as good as, you know, Ingress and Pokemon Go.
Well, you hear about the new update. They have, like, new updates coming. Well, obviously, they always have new updates coming for Pokemon Go, but they have got some new, like, lucky Pokemon now.
Yeah, I heard about this thing that, I guess the latest version update, because they're implementing the Celebi quest, are probably going to go live next week for the rest of us. Shane got his when he went to GoFest. So, but the rest of us get to get a Celebi soon. Speaking of Shane going to GoFest, he brought me back a Torkoal Is that it? Torkoal? Yeah, the little turtle.
Yeah,
thing.
The turtle.
Yeah, so that's cool because I got that in my Pokédex. And then JD was in Florida recently and is supposed to be bringing me a Heracross and a Corsola. So I'm really excited. Yay. So that'll really help with my decks. Now I just need Mr. Mime and Kangas Khan. So I guess I'll have to go to Australia. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, they'll probably like do some event where they'll swap it over here.
That's what I'm hoping. They had Kangas Khan in Anaheim at one point when they did Pokemon Worlds. Remember that? And some of the crazies here drove all the way to Anaheim to get a fucking Kangaskhan, which is like, what, an 8-hour drive down there? But, you know, it's what it is.
But then go to Disneyland.
Yeah, I know. Right, yeah. It's like, you can't exactly say you're crazy going all the way to Anaheim just to get a Kangaskhan if you're going to, like, swing by Disneyland while you're there.
Well, just think about the mad Poke stops that are going to be in Nintendo Land whenever that opens up.
Oh, right. I'm sure. Well, they're going to have to get submitted and go through that whole process, but I'm sure it'll fill out really fast.
I don't know. Will Nintendo be able to submit those? They're going.
Players will do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
absolutely. Anyway, so non-mobile AR gaming stuff I play because there's been other stuff. So this just released this past week and was kind of like one of those I didn't realize this was coming and I had to get it when I saw that Tempest 4000 came out this week. It's a kind of the spiritual successor in many ways to Tempest 2000.
No, it's the direct successor to Tempest 3000.
Right. Well, but wasn't 3000 kind of like 3000 was really just kind of like
you can't call
like
it a spiritual
plus.
Successor when it's actually in the same series. Spiritual successor would mean it's a different series but a similar game.
All right, I guess. Even though, but it's not on the same platform. But whatever. I get what you're saying. So, so it's Tempest 4000. Well, here's the thing, Jamie. Here's why I think I'm leaning towards saying spiritual successor. Tempest 4000 may be the first game that I refund on Steam. So it kind of like honestly in the position it's in right now, it doesn't deserve to be in the same line as Tempest 2000. That's where my brain went.
But this is supposed to be one of those games that's going to sell me on the Atari ST or the new platform that they have, right?
Here's the thing. It's not that my experiences with the game, I mean, the game itself is okay. I mean, it doesn't really seem to do anything that much different than Tempest 2000. But here's the problem. On PC, I don't know, and some of you have probably heard about this already. The PC version is $10 cheaper than the console versions, which is cool. I mean, I'm not going to complain about that. I mean, I guess I would if I was more of a console person. But the problem with the PC version is that they didn't do, like, anything. It's like somebody just hit the switch to dump their, dump the program instead of compiling it for Xbox One, compiling it for the PC. And what I mean by that is you can't change any of the video options. You can't change any of the keyboard mappings. So either you're going to play with really fucking crazy keyboard mappings or you're stuck. You have to use an Xbox 360 controller. You can't use the mouse, which is redonkulous for a game like Tempest, which is not the same thing on a controller. And it just kind of like – it controls funky with the Xbox 360 controller. I just don't like it. So like I just – I don't know. Like honestly, I played around in Tempest 4000 like finally when I figured out how to like to reboot my whole computer to get it to see the controller and all this stuff. And I was just like, Mama, this is garbage. Like it's just – it's not – what Tempest 2000 was to me when it was on the Jaguar. So I'm sorry to be so unkind, but at the same time, this is a half-ass fucking port if I have ever seen one. And this franchise deserves better.
Hello and welcome to modern day Atari, where all of their ports are half-ass pieces of shit.
Enjoy processing my refund because it sucks. Because
they redid Alone in the Dark, and it was shit. They redid, Tempest, and apparently that's shit. And then they, I think they ported their, they're porting their mobile version of Theme Park, and that's going to be shit as well. So
yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry, but my review on Tempest 4000 is pass until they fix the PC version. What the fuck were they thinking putting that out? That was awful. It was a horrible decision. So anyway, that's why I was trying to distance it from Tempest 2000, which is an amazing game that, you know, from years and years ago. But unfortunately, just like, you know, you can't. Anyway, I could go on and on. Let's talk about something more positive, shall we? A game that I did not think I would enjoy, although it seems like everybody else I know was really enjoying it. And finally, it was one of those things where between all the Twitch streams, all the tweets, that kind of like positive buzz and energy was, I had to feed off of it. And I finally, I plunked down the money and bought Octopath Traveler on the Switch. And I got to say, I like it. I really, really like it. And it seems that the game is doing very well. I don't know if we have any hard sales numbers yet. But it really, I mean, and this could be just like confirmation bias or whatever, but like I look at my friends list on Switch and it's like everybody is fucking playing this game. Like tons.
Yeah, I haven't bought it yet.
This game has to be selling better than Square Enix could have projected.
Yes.
Which I think is a great thing because it shows that it's not that everything has to be sprite retro type of stuff, which I do like the kind of like hybridness of the fact that you are these like old school sprites, but like, you know, it's a lot of like new school looking environments and the water effects are beautiful and a lot of like the, you know, blurring that they do and some of that stuff. It looks really good when it's in motion. I don't think screenshots do it justice. It looks really good in motion. but anyway, my point is that, and the fact that the battle system is a very kind of old school, you know, Super Nintendo-esque RPG battle system. I mean, they do have some new stuff in it. Like, you know, you have the breaking system, which is unique. I don't remember seeing something like that in another game. But, like, you know, at some point, like, one of the JRPG classics, Final Fantasy, kind of really fell off the path with the battle system, right? Because, you know, 10 was very kind of standard, but then 12 really changed it. Which was, I like 12. I'm not knocking 12. I love 12, but it was very different. 13 was really different. And I like 13's battle system, but it's not like a classic JRPG at all. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm skipping 11 and 14 for obvious reasons. But then 15 was also another like radical change to the battle system. I don't feel as good on what they did with 15 as they did with 12 and 13, but okay. So, like, I don't know, like, there's part of me that says it's kind of good that, like, an old-school mechanic JRPG is being received this well, because I think it shows that there's still a demand for that, and I think it is going to send Square Enix a message, at least for the people in this country. You know, I don't know how the game is doing in Japan, which is obviously very important as well to the direction that's going to be taken, but I think it is a sure thing we will see an Octopath Traveler 2. Or some type of, you know, I don't know. Where do you go from Octopath Traveler? Like 9? What is the prefix for 9?
New Chrono Trigger?
Yeah, I don't know.
crap. I actually know this.
Maybe they'll regress and do 7. Heptapath.
7 is, Hepta or Septa.
Yeah, Septapath. Yeah, what is 9? I don't know. Anyway. Tiger Claw in chat says...
Enea.
JD says nano, like a nanogram.
No, Enea. No,
Enea.
If you're using the same Greek prefix.
Interesting. Okay.
So it'd be, you would go to hepta, octo, Enea, deca.
Okay.
If you're all using Greek, so that would be 7, 6.
Maybe they'll just skip, because I bet people wouldn't recognize the nines. They just go to Decapath Traveler. Or they'll just do Octopath Traveler 2, and the logo...
With octopuses.
And Octomom is in it.
Ultros is in it.
Ultros. And Octodad is in it.
Yes.
And what other famous octopi are there? That one that threw the fish at the guy because it didn't like his dinner.
Octodad.
I said Octodad.
Yeah, Octodad. Anyway, I'm enjoying. Here's my one criticism, my one minor criticism of Octopath, because obviously, in all fairness, I've sunk maybe like 5 hours in the game and I have 3 characters, you know, like, and you have to go around and collect all 8. It's like I've got a long way to go. I do feel like the 3 stories I've played so far, I started with Ophelia, who's like your cleric, your healer. And then I picked up, I just kind of went in a circle because I went to the nearest people. So I've got Cyrus, who's like the scholar, your black mage, basically. And then I just picked up Tressa, who is a merchant, but she uses like spears and bows. So she's kind of, I don't know. Dragoony. I don't know what to call her.
Well, maybe more like a ocean merchant.
Yeah, actually,
like
yes,
a pirate.
She uses wind magic, so you're not too off base.
I think she's
that.
A pirate.
She's probably a pirate.
In my heart, I think she's a pirate.
Yeah. So anyway,
and she charges highway robbery.
But anyway, the thing about all those stories, I liked them. I thought Ophelia's was a little cliche-y RPG. I was kind of like rolling my eyes, but I really like the other two. I really, really like Tressa's. But anyway, I did feel like all of their openings were the same template. What I mean by that is that, you know, you get opening sequence. You get, here is the path action that you're going to learn. Now use it. And then here is, you're going to go down one screen into another screen. And then you're going to go down one more screen into the town. And then right next to the town is the dungeon. And at the end of the dungeon, you will fight the boss. And then once you fight the boss, good job. You can move on to the next one. So I kind of felt like there's a very, like, template to it all.
Yeah.
But I also, like, again, it's a minor criticism. I just felt it was a little bit like, okay, I'd like to be maybe, like, surprised. I can imagine that if you're doing a game where the whole kitsch is you get to start with any of the eight and do them in any order, then there has to be some sort of balance between them all. So I'm giving the game a pass. I imagine the more fun and the less, like, copy-pasty type of things will be when you have your entire party and you start to move into the chapter two stuff so the game can start to do different things because they'll know you have all eight characters.
It sounds very much like Seiken Densetsu, though. Seiken Densetsu 3.
Yes.
Where you start off with the different characters and the different paths.
Or Saga, which a lot of people are comparing to. But I didn't like Saga. I didn't like the battle system.
I'm not a big Saga fan.
Yeah. And honestly, it's what, when people compared Octopath to Saga, I was instantly like, had that, I don't know.
You know, my thought is that I would like Octopath for the same reason I like Duprism. Or what do we have? Threads of Fate over here. because you have two paths. You start off with each character, and then eventually their stories merge. Mm-hmm,
Let's see. Raginator in chat asks, Cyrus, like Billy Ray or Miley? Clearly, Miley. Clearly.
I mean, Dolly Parton is her godmother. Hello.
I know. She came in like a wrecking ball, although Cyrus in this story is male, but whatever. Anyway. Dark Tetsuya says, I was just thinking it sounds like Second Tetsuya 3. Yeah, I mean, the layout, kind of. Anyway. That game's been taking up a lot of my time as well. So otherwise, I'm still playing Heroes of the Storm, Final Fantasy 14. If for those that play Final Fantasy 14, my Eureka, I just got my +1 weapon in Eureka, and I'm up to level 18 in the Eureka thing for all you three people that also are playing Final Fantasy 14 out there. But I'm having fun with that. So there you go. That's my kind of busy gaming week. Sadly, I have to admit, I still have not been able to go through the motions of setting up the VR and all that stuff. I wanted to do it last week, but then I got sick. Well, here's where I'm running into a problem. The space in there where I have the PS4, it's kind of hard to, like, set up the camera. I kind of don't have enough space.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to do it out here, which means I got to move everything out here, and then I can't really stream it unless I do the native streaming through the PS4. But, I mean, obviously, as soon as we have a date for Tetris Effect, this will all be fast-tracked.
I think it's October.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it, because, my God, we're almost to August, right? And then August means, oh, my God, Dragon Con's in 4 weeks, which means, bye, I'll be gone for a week. And then after that, it'll be like, oh, my God, it's September. And it's like, you know, time moves so fucking fast. My God. Anyway.
It's like, hey, here's fourth quarter games.
Yeah, right? And then a new Smash Brothers and Nintendo Online and everything's here. So
Smash isn't not until December, isn't it?
Yeah, they gave the date for that. It's
December, yeah.
Yeah, it's slipped past the November rush, but I
November's Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel like, thanks to the age of digital distribution in part, the day having your game out by Black Friday isn't what it used to be.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, and I've been buying digitally anyways for everything, so.
Even the holiday time period isn't what it used to be. You know, and the same thing has been happening to movies. You know, the two big times to release movies are the summer and the holidays, right? Which is still mostly true. Like, a lot of movies make a lot of big money in those time frames. But, like, I think in the past, you know, 5 or so years, you've really seen where, like, you know what? Movies can come out in February, March. You know, they can come out in October and still make a shit ton of money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Deadpool was, like, a February movie, right?
No, it was March. Yeah. Well, the original Deadpool?
Yeah.
Original Deadpool was on Valentine's Day.
Right. And then the new one was in March. So they were, and they both made shit tons of money. So, you know.
Because, like, they were great.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, people will go to the cinema to see a movie, you know.
The last movie I saw was Deadpool 2.
Yeah, which, God, the last movie I saw was probably whatever art movie you and I saw. Earlier this year, either, like, no, we didn't see Call Me
I
By Your Name. We saw The Shape of Water, right?
I thought you were going to go see the second Mamma Mia movie.
I had Nobody would see it with me on Friday
Rob,
night.
I haven't seen the first one, but I'll go see it with you.
Aww.
As long as I'm home by 10.
My wife's seen it next Saturday.
We'll figure it out. Well, then the other thing is, and I was going to say, is that my friend in the Bay Area, Melody, who had the baby recently, I still haven't been able to visit the baby because Melody's had all her... Yeah, well, Melody's had... She I don't want to get in all her business on the
issues.
Air, but she's been sick. Yeah. So, but she's fine now. So I'm going to go visit her and see the baby. And then she said... Fuck yeah, we're going to go see the Mamma Mia thing. So I knew I'd get to go see it in like 2 weeks. But I've got to get past this Clue thing first, which admittedly is my own fault for being involved with that. So anyway.
Okay,
but
Ms.
it's
Peacock.
Fun. It's fun. It's so fun. The picture came out. I don't know if you saw the picture of me as Mrs. Peacock, but it's out there now. So
I'm very proud.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's good. So anyway.
That's some good drag.
Oh, so I man, I feel like a woman. But
no,
I'll tell you this.
No, you know what? You have to do the Miss Cracker thing. She's a woman!
I did. When I saw myself in the mirror the first time after all the makeup was done, I did do the whole, mother, I am gorgeous. I did do that from Drag Race. So
yeah.
It was fun. But I will say, being a woman is hard fucking work. Because the corset fucking hurts. Like, all my insides are basically being shoved into... every other part of my body, right? And okay, but I was never one to like disrespect femininity.
I know,
or what women go through.
But
I'm letting y'all know, yo.
I'm still giving you a shit-eating grin.
Listen here, men, real men, try on a corset sometime and try what those ladies go through. And I don't just mean like put on the corset. I mean
tight lace that bitch.
Let her lace it, and oh my God, you will have a newfound respect for what women go through. Let me tell you. Because I got to get them hips somehow, and the corset does that.
Are you
and
padding?
I'm not going to pad because the dress doesn't, like Mrs. Peacock's dress is too 50s conservative to really show the padding, which means I don't have to tuck the boys away either. So I don't have to go like full drag.
I hope
drag.
You have a good crinoline though.
We're good.
Okay.
But then what was I going to say? Dang it. Oh, the shoes. Jesus Christ. And I've done heels before thanks to Rocky Horror. Okay, those were like little heels, but these are like straight up fuck me pumps that I'm wearing, and they hurt my fucking leg. Like, I will be impressed if I get through that show.
Tape your first two toes together.
Oh, like on my feet?
On your feet.
Yeah.
It will help.
Okay, good to know. Why not? Everything else in my body is all laced
plus,
up.
Plus, you can get the ball of your heel pads.
Mm-hmm.
That don't get the Dr. Scholl's one, get the CVS one because they're cheaper and they do just a good job.
Good to know.
Trust me.
JD in chat says, did you choose a drag name? At the end of the day, I decided to do the Chad Michaels thing and just do Rob Roberts so that I didn't want to split my branding. Does that make sense? I didn't want to.
Okay, if, Willem.
And it's part the Willem thing too.
Yeah.
Is it?
Except you're not an asshole.
Well, I try. but is that if this is really, really well received and it's like, hey Rob, we want to give you a paid gig but you should do it in a dress because it would be funny, then it's like, I have no I'll do the Eddie Izzard thing. I have no problem with it. Whatever, it is what it is. Gender is a construct, tear it apart.
I know a local queen comedian I could put you in contact with, so
okay,
if you were interested.
You never know. And Rama in chat says, I have laced many a cosplayer in a corset. I legit understand. But Rama, until you've been in that corset, which you don't have to say in chat if you have or not. I'm just saying, until you've been in that corset, you don't really know. I'm just saying.
That's it. I want to see Ronchon do bust out some Akane cosplay.
All right. Saying like sexy crossplay Luigi?
If
I would do that.
If that's what makes him happy, then sure. All right. But in the meantime, there's so many people out there probably listening going, I thought this was a video game podcast. It is, but sometimes you play video games in corset and heels, and that's fine.
You know what? I've decided.
What?
I'm going to do Girl Mario, Maria.
Maria? For
Maria.
What? Like a...
For maybe Sac Anime.
Mag West is coming up, but man, it's on a busy fucking weekend, Mag West. I don't know.
I got shit going on, but
I've been wanting to
do Sac Anime, and I'm going to try to remake my Grey Warden. So, actually, I'm redoing my Jill Valentine. You remember my very, very first cosplay that I did out here?
Uh-huh.
was my Jill costume. Uh-huh. I am going to remake my Jill Valentine costume.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Now that I am probably a good 4 sizes smaller than when I did it last time. Which, by the way, today marks 100 pounds down.
Really?
All you have to do now is find 2 giant slices of bread.
Do you want me to die? I ate pizza the other day.
No, to be a Jill sandwich.
Right.
All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, bun.
Let's get into some video game news. Believe it or not, we have some around here. Starting off with a game that's kind of a pleasant surprise to see back in the news, right, Loki?
Exactly. Like, it's about time that the game came out that I'd bought, was it 2 years ago? 1 year ago? I can't even remember when this came out originally. But No Man's Sky Next is getting its due time, I guess. They're releasing it now. It's going to be coming to the Xbox. And what does No Man's Sky Next add to the game? Well, true multiplayer. So not this like, oh, hey, I'm in the same place as you are, or I see a glowing thing or something like that. No, you actually will see the actual people that you're playing with. So they're going to have third-person options, true multiplayer, ringed planets. Also, there's going to be a visual overhaul. You can build bases on any planet, and you'll be able to assemble and upgrade a fleet of frigates and command them from the bridge of your freighter. So that's pretty awesome. So that'll be coming out, of course, on PlayStation 4 and PC on July 24th. And we'll be releasing on Xbox One, which includes everything. So, hooray! I can't wait to try it.
And if you already own the game, which many of you do, this is going to be just a free update. Just like they've done several big updates
they have.
Over
and
the past couple years.
And it's great. I haven't played it since they did any of those updates, so I'm very looking forward to going
you
back
get to play
and
Super Update.
And it's going to look awesome because 4K TV.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to check this out again. You know, I did check it out not a terribly long time ago, probably after their last big update. But I'm excited for a chance to go back and revisit this game. I do love that they, you know, have done this as a free, you know, update. I'm not sure where the money's coming from to have sustained that studio for 2 years. I guess the game is selling well enough, even at a lot of the markdown prices or when it first came out or what have you. That they had enough money to kind of pour back.
Maybe
into the
additional
game.
Sales on PC and now on Xbox One. I mean, that's a whole new audience. So.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, most studios would have, you know, taken the money and poured it into a new project. So it's pretty cool that they've, you know, kind of committed themselves to making a more fully realized game. Well, here's the thing. I never hated the game to begin with. Like, it wasn't a 10 out of 10 to me, but I didn't allow myself to buy into all that hype, and you know
well,
that.
Right, yeah, because it was all about, like, oh, let's get to the center of the universe, and you get to the center of the universe, and it's like, oh, and well, there's nothing there.
Well, but here's the thing. You know that there was all that lead up with all the stuff, and I was sitting here saying, so where's the game? Where's the fucking game? You know what? I don't care anymore until they show us the game. So, you know, by the time the game finally came out, I feel like since I didn't really have expectations, I enjoyed it for what it was, which for me was more of like a Zen Minecraft type of experience. You know, and I think a lot of people made this narrative based on, you know, what the developers were saying at the time and putting out there in the media, which they've certainly learned their lesson since then, was they were looking for probably more like an action space game.
Well,
which I never was expecting ever.
I like the Zen Minecraft part of it, but there just wasn't a lot to do on any of the planets originally. And if you wanted to just sit there and mine a planet and build stuff or whatever, well, then you have to fend off all the robot sentries that don't like you mining the planet, even if you go to a peaceful planet. Or it's like, oh, hey, look at all this inventory shuffling I have to do. Now, granted, that was fixed several updates ago, but you know, I'm talking about when I first played it and my last memory of it, which was like, oh, well, I can't stack any of this stuff. And, oh, my ship's out of fuel now and better go mine some fuel and, I don't know, go to this other planet. Oh, look, it's the same shit.
So I'm excited to try it again. And I'm curious to see how the multiplayer component works out. Like, I'm not really going to go seeking out other people, but I'm curious, like, if somebody's on the same planet as you, is it going to come up on, like, your radar? Like, there's another player, like, on this planet. But you know, again, it's an entire fucking planet. So, like, just because somebody's on that planet, they could be, you know, so far away from you.
And if there's, like, billions of planets, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting to see how that all works. So, I'll be revisiting the game again. I know I will. So, very cool. What about you? You gonna pick up No Man's Sky again? Play that?
Oh, yeah, I'll try it if I ever get the TV again. I was hoping that they do, like, a VR mode for it, you know.
Well, maybe.
That would be cool.
Maybe. SSG 100 Matt in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I really wanted the game to be like the spaceship parts of the book version of Ready Player One. Kaijudo in chat says, devs don't like to abandon their games these days. That's part of the problem. I miss the good old days when a dev would just run off and leave the game open for mods to have fun with.
Oh, don't worry. There's plenty of companies out there that'll abandon their games, no problem. Yeah. So that's not an issue.
Yeah, there's plenty of games EA would like to woo you to download Origin, Kaijudo. I kind of get what you're saying, but at the same time, this isn't the first time that we've seen developers stick with a game they really believe in either. Like, I think Diablo 3 is probably the biggest example of a game that they did turn around a couple years after release. You know, Diablo 3 now is not anything like it was when it first released. And it's a lot of fun to play now. I still play Diablo 3 here and there. But when that game first released, it was sloppy. Which for a big series like Diablo was a really ugly thing.
So do you think Diablo 4 this year at BlizzCon or...
I want to believe, just like a
or good, another just, expansion, you think?
like an X-Files poster, but with, you know, a demon hunter instead of a UFO. I want to believe, but I don't think it'll be another expansion. It would be weird at this point to have another expansion when the Necromancer wasn't really an expansion. I know they call it the Necromancer expansion, but it wasn't a real expansion. You know what I mean? Mm. I think Diablo 3, it's time to close the book on it and go to Diablo 4. Whether it's this year, the announce, maybe, I want to believe.
Okay.
But the game won't be out this year, so it won't matter. They can announce it this year. It won't actually come out till 2020, probably. It'll be on the next stage of consoles. We'll see. And then, of course, Final Fantasy 14 was another game they really turned around. But like, it's like, I feel like the Final Fantasy 14 that's out now like wasn't even the same game. That was originally released.
Still waiting for 11 on mobile.
But the interesting thing about 14's original release, like No Man's Sky, they continued to patch the shit out of that original Final Fantasy 14 until they finally were ready to pull the plug on it and begin the makeover for Realm Reborn, which caused the game to be down for like, I don't know, it was like 8 weeks or something before they launched Realm Reborn, which, you know, is now... I think the best MMO out there right now is 14.
Or hell, let's upgrade 11 with better graphics. Just keep it all the same since it's going to be on mobile platforms anyways. And bring it to Switch.
One more comment here on No Man's Sky. Dungeon Buster says, once you get settled into a routine of mining, resupplying, flying, repeat, it got really boring. But the huge content patches have added a lot more since then. Some other comments on patching. Dungeon Buster says they're still adding free content to Monster Hunter World, too. Same with The Division. Yeah, that's always... Well, I mean, we have a story later on, I think, about Mario Kart 8. You know, a lot of games are getting, like, patching updates, which is pretty cool. SG100 Matt suggesting how to change your 4K TV monopolization problems. Loki needs a gamer cave with his own TV.
Okay, well, let me just add on to the house because...
You get the garage.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
You get the hot-ass fucking garage in this 140.
I already do have the hot-ass fucking garage to work out in and play DDR in. It's 110 degrees in there when I'm playing DDR. Let's just put it this way.
Your
I'm
man
just
sauna.
Soaking wet. Like, I have to literally... I can't wear a shirt on and it's just soaking wet. It's just gross. But it works. Here's what's going to actually happen. Our old TV's going in our bedroom and our old TV still has all the streaming stuff on it so we can... She can watch it on there because she even discovered the other day because she's been using Prime Video and Prime Video kind of sucks. But, you know, Prime Video had to either go through our new TV or my PlayStation 4 and because it wasn't on the other app. But she found that the house is on the NBC app, and which is weird because I thought it was on Fox. I'm not sure why it's on NBC, but it's on NBC now. So she's like, oh, they're all the episodes are right here, too. I guess I don't need to go through the Prime app anymore. I'm like. Uh-huh, get off the TV. So, I will eventually get the TV back. All I have to do is ask, too. But I've been mainly trying to focus on actually doing programming and stuff and building something because I know everybody wants me to. And I'll get around to it. If I really want to play No Man's Sky, like if that was like I was dying to do it, I'd just download it on a PC and play it on my PC.
All right. Well, speaking of Mario Kart, I know this was something that was going around this week. I think this is because of Comic-Con, but there are some Mario Kart Hot Wheels that are going to be coming. So didn't we get like we had like Atari influenced Hot Wheels was a thing.
Well,
recently,
they have
right?
Mario flavored Hot Wheels right now. In fact, I actually saw some at GameStop when we were just stopping by there today. But they're like Mario paint jobs on like regular cars.
Oh no, these are full on like the carts with the characters in them. These are like full on actual like kart racers. Anyway, Mattel partnered with Nintendo to do this. They are licensed toys. They're going to be out in 2019. They were viewable at San Diego Comic-Con, which was probably like the big thing that was going on this weekend. Unfortunately, I don't think everybody's getting a release because there's a lot of characters in Mario Kart, but you will be able to get Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Wario, Rosalina, Toad, and Yoshi. Hot Wheels are also going to be making tracks inspired by various Mario Kart courses. The cars will be $5 each, coming out June 2019. So
fucking expensive.
Well, that's cheaper typical. Than an Amiibo. I don't know. I'm still tempted. I think they look really cool. I think your kids would be into these, wouldn't they?
Oh yeah, they always like beg me for Hot Wheels. We have a whole bucket of Hot Wheels that they don't play with.
Yeah, they're not Mario. You
no, know, we have like
Dad,
Hot Wheels.
I want the Mario.
All of like okay, so like when I was playing, I used to play with Hot Wheels all the time. I used to have miles of that like. Orange track. That actually was my dad's track when he was a kid, just to tell you how old that stuff is. So like we would play with that and actually build our own courses. But now when you buy the track, first off, it's fucking expensive, and second, all of the like track that you can buy is in a set always does something weird and funky, and it's just like you can't loop it with the rest of it. So like we have one right now that like it goes in like a figure eight really fast, and then they crash into each other, and it's really boring. But it's also fucking loud and takes up a ton of fucking space. So that's why we don't play with it.
Kaijudo in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, will there be shortages and then we have to find them on eBay?
Hot Wheels, no, this is Mattel. Mattel, they fucking know how to manufacture shit. This isn't Nintendo manufacturing this.
Yeah.
There will be no problems.
Well, but are they going to be able to – I mean, what's the demand going to be like, and will they be able to anticipate that demand? I mean, I don't really know.
I don't normally seek out specific Hot Wheels, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that Mattel's got the manufacturing thing down. They don't play this fake shortage bullshit.
All right. Well, we have some other comments on the desirability in our chat, so maybe Mattel better get ready with a lot of these because Rama says, I legit want them. Dart Tetsuya says, I thought those were neat. Definitely spoke to my inner child and me, and now, LOL, used to collect die-cast cars like you wouldn't believe. I do want the Toad cart. And our buddy Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org, hello, says simply, want, in all caps. And that's
we actually do collect Hot Wheels.
Do you?
We collect all the Mustangs and all the Fiats.
On a scale of one to want, how do you feel about the Mario Kart Hot Wheels?
I'm actually kind of indifferent.
Okay.
Just because we're not like as big on it as we used to be. It'd be nice to have, but I mean, the last things that, you know, I'll pick up Dan a Mustang every so often, you know, because he loves his Mustangs. And I'll pick up a Fiat when I find it. But I don't know. It just seems like it'd be more stuff that would take up more space in my already overrun toy house.
There's a part of me that wants to get at least one or two just to see if Mr. Smush will chase it around the house.
Okay, story time.
Okay.
Dan used to love chasing Shermie around the house with our RC Initial D cars. You remember those ones that used to sell at all the anime conventions? And then we had also RC Koro Q cars. And we would chase Shermie around with them until she realized stairs. And that's my story about Shermie. Rest in peace.
All right. Well, Jamie, while you got the mic, why don't we move on to the next story?
Well, speaking of some Nintendo, you know, they were going to do a game. Well, it was canceled 8 years ago, but it would have been the last Tingle thing to release. And it was going to be a scary game. It was supposed to be where Tingle goes into a Wizard of Oz-esque storybook, and he has to dance with the realm's princess to escape. First of all, Tingle is scary all on his own. They were working with Vanpool, and this is according to the producer, Tanabe Kensuke, who gave this out. So, weird. I don't know. I mean, they did a Tingle game that came out with, what was it, Four Swords Adventures that came out in Japan with it, that we never saw the light of day over here, officially.
Four Swords Avengers?
Yeah.
They had a Four Swords game that was a free download. It was the
Tetris game. Oh, no, maybe it was the Tetra game that didn't come with it. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's the Tetra
one. No, it was the Tetra game that didn't come out with it. Never mind. But anyway, we have no Tingle scary weird game.
Well, that's disappointing. Would you have played a Silent Hill starring Tingle?
It doesn't seem like it'd be very Silent Hill. It just seemed like it would just be weird.
Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com.
Silent Mushroom Kingdom.
SS2100 Matt says Tingle Murder Party.
Wait, it would be Silent Hyrule.
JD says any game starring Tingle is a horror game.
Speaking of horror games, I have some of the Burger King games still.
Oh, like Sneak King?
I don't have Sneak King. I have the motorcycle racing game, which I don't know why I don't have Sneak King, because I would have totally kept that. So I don't know where that is, but I have the mini bike racing one.
Are those backwards compatible on Xbox One and that whole thing?
Well, they're Xbox. I don't know if they're backwards compatible. I know they're Xbox, the original Xbox and Xbox 360 on one disc, which is kind of unique.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot they were original Xbox. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
By the way, there's something else that I remembered about figures and toys that are they announced at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Girls action figures, Rob.
Oh yeah, there's like Golden Girls nostalgia is at an all-time high. I've been getting links on my wall about like Pez dispensers and like everything.
You used to have quite the Pez dispenser collection.
I did back in the day. They're all kind of in a drawer now. I don't really have them on display anymore. But I mean, here's the thing. I love the Golden Girls. It will always be one of my favorite shows ever. But like I'm finding with all these things that they have
out there,
I'm starting to hit my limit. You know what I mean? Like I don't need every single fucking Golden Girls.
You know
Girls
what's
thing.
Next, right?
What?
Designing women.
Yeah, I know. Hashtag justice for designing women.
We're going to have the Delta Burke pop.
It is an underappreciated, like, you know, 80s/90s classic. Yeah, we need like a Delta Burke and, God, what was her name?
That played Julia Sugarbaker?
Yeah, like the lead in that show.
I don't remember her name.
Not Delta Burke, because they wrote her out.
And
it
was
seasons.
The Charlene character.
Mm-hmm.
That show was good.
It was.
That's what I found with like my new TV. They have this thing called the Roku channel because it has a built-in Roku inside of it. And the Roku channel, for those who are not aware, has a bunch of old shit that you would just never think that somebody would license. So it has like old TV and old movies, really weird, random shit that's on there. For example, it has the incomplete series of Elf. Or it has...
Elf had a really weird ending.
Or it has the complete series of Grace Under Fire, or what was the other weird show that was on there that was, I was like, well, that's odd. Has Short Circuit 2, but not the first Short Circuit.
Sorry,
weird.
Important interruption. Dixie Carter. Remember that? Dixie Carter. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so like a bunch of weird stuff that I went through and go, I'm going to make my kids watch this, and they're going to hate me for it. But I don't care, because it's Alf.
Alf is pretty cool, except the part where he tries to eat cats. I don't like that. But he never did actually get to eat a cat, so I think that's good.
Apparently, the people who were on that show hated being on it because of all the holes that they had to do the puppet through.
Oh, Alf?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I can only imagine. Yeah.
But the ending was such a downer. Oh, gosh. I watched it live. I'm like, I was scarred for life.
Captain, had a cartoon.
Captain Spike is asking, what service was this?
It's Roku. And so Roku has their own channel called the Roku Channel, and it has a bunch of free stuff. I think it's all like sponsored by Geico or something like that. And it's just random shit. Like they have all sorts of random movies on there and random TV shows.
I'll take random TV shows.
Yeah, I was like, it's free. I'm not complaining about free. Short Circuit 2. Cool. Wish they had the first one, but I remember too.
Where could I find old episodes of Small Wonder? That's another 80s.
The internet.
Where's Where's our, like, Harriet doll?
But they had, like, was it?
No, Harriet was the neighbor. Vicky. Vicky was the
They had, like,
girl.
I think they had, like, Adam's family on there. They had, like, a bunch of, like, Nick at Night stuff on there, too. Like, I Dream of Jeannie was on there. Like, it just random shit. I don't know.
Anyway. They're talking about downer endings in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com because the ALF sitcom had a downer ending. And then Act Deft is saying, dinosaurs series ending, though. That was a downer.
I don't even remember the end of that one.
Spoiler alert. If I remember right, a comet hits the Earth and kills them all.
Well, I guess that makes sense, yeah.
Because that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
If I remember right, am I right on that? I still remember that was the thing. Like, a comet hits the Earth, kills them all. Which, why are we laughing? It's not funny.
It's hilarious.
Remember when all the dinosaurs died? All right, anyway. Oh, Actev says an ice age happens, and they're realizing that they will die a slow, frozen death. I was close.
Oh, that's even better.
I was close. That's even funnier. All right. Anyway. Let's move on. Loki, what do you have for us?
All right. So, Splatoon 2, unfortunately, a lot of the games on the Switch are running into hacker issues. And apparently Splatoon 2 is one of these games that's actually pretty easy for players to hack. So what did one hacker do to Splatoon 2? Well, they took the leaderboard for competitive play and got the top four spots and spelled out, "Please add anti-cheat." Basically said it wasn't just a joke. They wanted to send a message to Nintendo about how easy it is to hack their game. So, yeah, because, you know, now with all the mods and stuff that they have for the Switch, it's easy for them to modify the game and be able to, you know, do all sorts of nonsense in there.
I'll show you, hacks the planet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, did Nintendo, like, fix this already or what?
No, not yet.
Not yet? They probably will. If it hasn't happened by the time the show's airing, I'm sure it will pretty soon.
Well, they've done it. Well, they fixed it by removing the hacker's message. It says, but the recent update, there's no signs of anti-cheat measures that have been added into the game. It says what they should do is, in the least, is to add parameters to check things like they did in the first game to correct misconfigured parameters when someone joins a game. Hmm. On top of that, the game should have various sanity checks during gameplay. So basically, you know, like, to verify that, oh, the rate of fire of your rocket there isn't, like, you know, it's a consistent amount and not, like, 80 times per second or something like that.
Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Dartitsuya says, I heard the guy got banned, so I don't know if that counts.
Oh, yes. Thank you. You know, of course.
Because he won't come back under with a new hat.
Well, I understand, like, the guy wasn't trying to be destructive about it. He's, like, trying to tell him, hey, you need to fix something. And so how they reward that by fucking banning him.
Going to chat. Here's another comment about 80s TV. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Ughead 2 in our chat, which is I don't recognize that name, so welcome, hello. Ughead 2 in chat says, I have a channel here in Richmond called Antenna TV that has Small Wonder, Soap, Mr. Belvedere, Benson. It's pretty rad. You know, that's a good point, is that a lot of these, like, random fucking shit is ever since they converted from the analog to the digital,
yes,
because it got so much easier to do digital stations, like, check your digital stuff, because I don't even know if all these exist on cable. You might have to actually go to, like, the antenna and go to, like, your CBS, but go to, like, the .2 and the .3, because there is some low-budget television happening in those places. And sometimes it's just, like, a nonstop weather channel. Some of them are, like, a nonstop news channel. Some of them, you know, they're just, like different stuff. Radio does this, too. There's, like, random radio stations on the HD. But I don't think a lot of cars have, like, the HD radio. I think that's more of, like, a
My old car had an HD radio tuner.
Mine doesn't.
I had an HD radio tuner in my car. And it was garbage. I don't know.
Like, I have a Prius, which is it's a 2016 Prius. It's kind of a newer car.
I just don't think it ever caught on because people are like, streaming services.
Well, yeah, streaming services, you know, podcasts.
It's like satellite radio.
Putting your iPod or iPhone or whatever, or Android, you know, all that stuff into the, you know, car basically is kind of the new thing, and everybody's using streaming, Spotify or podcasts. I'm sure there's a lot of people that listen to us in the car on their commutes. Hello. So anyway, but I was going to say with the TV, that is so true. There is a lot of that random stuff, and I bet anything, the channel that he's mentioning is probably one of those type of channels. That's where Buzzer comes from too. Y'all know I love me some Buzzer on Twitch, because they stream it on Twitch too, which is the old ass game shows. It's like 70s Match Game. And so the one over the air is the one that has like Supermarket Sweep and like additional stuff that they don't even have on the Twitch one. So, and I guess somebody was telling me, I think I saw a tweet, you can watch like a live feed of Buzzer also on their website or something. So kind of neat. Anyway. Tiger Claw chat says, who listens to radio anymore? There's nothing good on it. Internet radio for the win. I do once in a while. And the reason why is that I do find the one thing that local TV and local radio still are able to do that no one else can quite match is local news. That's the one place that they still do very well with, especially in the TV side of things. With radio, there's just not a lot of, like, locally. But, you know, the terrestrial radio would be very smart to embrace more of the community side of things, because that's how they get more people to listen to it, I think. Anyway, that's my thoughts on that. Let's move on and talk about Smash Brothers. So, Super Smash Brothers may be going to be getting a demo. Maybe. I think some of the other Smash Brothers games had demos. I seem to remember there was one on like 3DS. Yeah, there's one on 3DS. I seem to remember. So anyway, Splatoon 2 and ARMS, they had demos, you know, to test launches or whatever you want to call it.
Maybe in that sense, like it's a beta test type thing.
IGN talked with Bill Trinan at the San Diego Comic-Con, and the response was, very good question. Right now, they're focused very much on getting the game ready. We have a few other things to talk about down the road between now and when it launches in December. We'll hopefully have some news on that as we get closer to launch. And that could also mean, I guess, the characters. They're kind of talking about, you know, more characters getting revealed before December. But I think kind of like Sakurai said in that early video, don't expect like 1,000 new characters. Like, there's probably going to be maybe...
I want 2,000 new characters.
Maybe a couple more. That's it.
All of the characters.
Anyway,
I want every single Pokemon from all of the generations in there.
So interesting is apparently because Smash Brothers Ultimate is listed on the official Japanese Nintendo website, 16 gigs of space is what the game is going to require. They say 16 gigs or more. So if you're going to use internal storage for this, that's like over half your internal storage.
Why? What could possibly take up that much space?
It's all those fucking characters and the animations in what I assume will be 60 frames
much,
a second.
There's
just a lot going on. Anyway, it might be a good time to think about getting a micro SD card if you don't already have one. I bought a micro SD card.
I got a 128 gigabyte one.
I think I got a 128. I don't even know now. It was $40.
It's never going to be enough.
It was $40, and then like... The very next day, so I bought it at Best Buy, and then the very next day was that Amazon Prime fuck show, and it was like $19 on Amazon Prime. But I didn't end up getting anything on the Prime thing because I was like, there's just, I feel like a lot of that stuff is just trying to entice me to buy shit I don't really need.
They had a Fitbit I wanted, but I still didn't buy it.
I looked at clothes, but I didn't see anything that screamed at me, so I didn't do it.
They had a lot of garbage on there.
Anyway, all right, moving on. Let's talk about Jamie. Let's talk about you. No, Jamie has a story for us.
Neopets. Who remembers Neopets?
Me.
Oh,
my God.
I haven't fed my Neopet in 13 years. Do you think it's dead?
They never die.
Do you think it slowly died in the Ice Age like the dinosaurs?
They never die. But anyway, we're going to have a return of Neopets as a mobile app that will be puzzle games. It looks like there is going to be like a Scrabble game, but it is going to be different, you know, than the Neopets account. So if you still had your Neopets account for some reason or another, yeah, you've lost all that shit. But I don't know. I mean, what are we going to get next? Gaia Online?
Why not?
Club
Penguin.
I think I still have my two Gaia Online accounts.
Do you? Ragnaros, of course. But there actually is a Ragnaros.
Ragnarok.
That little Ragnarok. Sorry, I'm getting my Heroes of the Storm bug crossed. Yes, Ragnarok online, and then they have that phone game.
Private,
that you've been
playing. Well, private servers are still up. But yeah, I'm playing Idle Pouring.
That's it.
And actually, RO2 is free still on Steam.
Oh, that's cool.
And all the music in it was done by Yoko Kanno. So.
Oh, cool.
So it was really cute. I mean. It was just more of the same, you know.
So, are you going to check out the new Neopets Reborn?
Yeah, probably, because I like Scrabble.
The mutated Neopets.
Well, I like word games.
Hardcore Neopets.
I like word games.
Yes, but the only words you're able to spell are like violence, kill your parents, murder your
stinky poop,
worship Satan. Anyway,
I worship Santa.
I'm just kidding. None of that is funny. All right. Loki.
All right. So there, one of the stories that came out while we were out was this whole thing about aliens, colonial marines. So there was a bug in the AI that had to do with actually it was just one thing that was misspelled, one line that was misspelled, and there was causing some issues where the AI didn't know which room it was in, so it couldn't react to the player in like very intelligent ways, and which is why, you know, the AI was really dumb. So you know, fast forward to now where that's been fixed by, you know, fixing the typo in the INI file. And now Gearbox has apparently taken to putting up it looks like a fake job posting on their site. To kind of poke fun at the stupid mistake that they made. So apparently the site has a job listing for programming copy editor. Was specific duties of review all code for typos, desired skills and experience, enjoys finding typos, required skills and experience, click apply and pass a rigorous questionnaire located on the application. The questionnaire, I guess, is referring to the... And the listing consists of a single question and an open text box. Please respond to the correct spelling of tether or tether. Teether, I guess. I mean, yeah, haha, it's fun to poke fun at yourself, but haha, this has been broken forever and you didn't fucking go through to see if you could fix the problem. Like, a spelling error? You would think that would be something pretty easy to catch. And you just said, fuck it, who cares? So I kind of find it a little bit insulting that they poke fun at that.
I'm of two mindsets because I always enjoy a company that can have that sense of like self-deprecating humor a little bit. You know, who doesn't love the Wendy's social media account or who else is a sass
Denny's?
Master on Twitter? Yeah, Denny's.
Arby's,
you know, all those. But here's the thing. In the time it took to write that clever little tweet and post that fake job posting and all that, you could have probably fixed this problem. You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, obviously, this was an incredibly simple thing to fix, and it's really weird that it just was not found.
Don't understand. Like, did no one like go through that? I mean, well, and here's the thing that I don't understand too. On top of that, it's like, okay, you built this game, and you shipped the game. You obviously, I assume you tested the game. Didn't you see that there was something fucking wrong with it? And like, wouldn't you think, okay, this is AI related. I'm going to talk to the guy that built, you know, the AI portion of this engine or whatever and figure out, let's see if we can get down to what the issue is. Like, it seems like no one fucking did anything.
Here's the thing. A lot of times in the industry, my understanding is that some bugs are reported. And an executive decision is made to keep the game on track to release a certain time. They don't fix them. It just depends on the severity of the bug, what it does, and all that stuff. Some bugs don't get fixed, and it is a choice. The weird thing about this, though, this, like, with as easy of a fix as it is, it's not like we're talking about you have to go in and, like, fix all this. Like, this is a very
it's one
very
character.
Simple, like, I could probably I could fix an INI file. If I can fucking do it, they can fucking do it. So it is really weird to me how that whole thing like snuck through. Like, that's a disaster.
As we were talking about earlier, you know, someone mentioned that, oh, hey, why don't developers just abandon their game and not fix stuff? Boom! There you go, Gearbox. They're your man. They want you to know that they're there for you to not fix shit.
There you go. Look forward to Borderlands 3. All right, anyway. Speaking of typos ruining everything, some people really perked up this week when apparently Microsoft said that there was going to be an announcement with all new Xbox hardware. And people were like, well, it is timed for Gamescom. So, I mean, even though it's a weird time for a company to announce new hardware, what is the traditional calendar for this stuff anymore, right? Remember, the Switch came out in March, and it did great. So, timetables for game consoles even are screwed up these days. So a lot of people perked up and said, what? Microsoft's going to be, like, doing the new console this early or doing something? Well, here's the deal. It was kind of a typo, basically. So what ended up happening is that Major Nelson put out a tweet that said the wording in the original post that said all new hardware and accessories was inaccurate. What you're really going to get, you get new bundle and accessory news that's being shared in Germany. So
what I meant to say is, instead of wood, it's actually wouldn't. There wouldn't be any news for all new hardware. Sorry for the confusion.
He asked and they said it was okay.
Well, what happened is that we had to ask Sony if it was okay for us to unveil the new hardware.
And Sony said it was okay.
And Sony said it was okay.
Sony said we would. I mean, wouldn't.
Here I thought this was just going to be another slow episode of the show, and that's probably one of my favorite zingers that's come up in the past, like, year on this program. Anyway. New hardware and accessories. So, exciting, I guess.
They are, well,
that does mean, maybe cheaper.
In all seriousness, I thought they were supposed to have, like, a redesigned controller or something that was supposed to be coming out at some point. Because I know that they were having, like, a new controller of some sort, I thought. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought they had like a new accessory or controller or something that was coming out.
So that's probably what you're going to see at Gamescom, but not at like whole
VR,
new Xbox.
Maybe? No?
HoloLens?
I would love for HoloLens to come down in price.
That just doesn't seem like a Gamescom type of thing.
Yeah.
I think,
that's a CES.
CES or a GDC, like the next phase of what that looks like type of thing for developers. I don't know. That's too early. Anyway, let's get to a more
speaking of redesigned, VR controllers. Sony, can we please get something?
All right, let's get to a simpler time in game. Look, let's go back to a time when there wasn't VR. You didn't have VR. Actually, no, we had VR back in this time. It was Lawnmower Man.
Lawnmower Man. The Mind's Eye. It was all the Mind's Eye. All the VR like footage was the Mind's Eye.
Yeah.
It's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura goes to the gaming vault, blah, blah, blah. Play this game, blah, blah, blah. What is it, Dark Sakura?
Hey, I have this game. Blazing Lasers, also known as Gunhead in Japan, which is a space shooter done by Hudson Soft and Compile. So you know it's kind of sometimes a pain in the ass. But it came out in Japan and North America in 1989 for the NEC PC Engine, also known as the TurboGrafx-16 over here. It's based off of a Japanese film called Gunhead, although they removed references to the movie in North America. Now that I know this, I might actually have to watch this movie, so I'm going to go look for it. Anyway, in the game, the galaxy is under attack by an enemy space armada called the Dark Squadron. And so the only thing that can help them is the Gunhead Advanced Starfighter, which would be pronounced GASP. Anyway. So it is a vertical scrolling shooter, and you go and you blow shit up. It was actually developed by the same people who did Puyo Puyo and Super Bomberman, as well as Zanac, The Guardian Legend, and Doremi Fantasy, which that was Mylon's Super Castle. Mylon's Doki Doki Adventure, sorry. It has since been released on the Wii Virtual Console in North America, Europe, and Australia in 2007, and in Japan the following year, and on the PlayStation Network in 2010, and on the Wii U's Virtual Console in 2014. So basically, you know, this is, I'd probably say, you know, keep in mind, the PC Engine got a shit ton of shooters. I mean, an inordinate amount of shooters. Some of them were garbage. Some of them were amazing. And I'm actually pretty happy that Blazing Lasers came out over here because it was a ridiculously good game when we kind of got some garbage on TurboGrafx. In this game, you have a rapid-fire cannon that you can upgrade or you can change to other weapons and take power-ups that, and these orbs called gel capsules. You can also get multi-bodies that shadow your actions. They have homing missiles, shields, different firing capability called full fire, and you get cluster bombs. All kinds of just fun weapons. But of course, my favorite is the big laser cannon that makes me think of Raiden. You remember Raiden, of course. Raiden was one of those big games.
Is that with the wavy gravy or whatever?
Well, the one in Raiden just latches on and swirls around until it gets them, but this one will actually, I think, shoot up and home in on them, like in like 90 degree angles. It's just a really, really cool weapon. But yeah, other things that they did together, I mean, basically the people who were behind this, it was directed by Nitani Masamitsu, who is also called Mu, but he was the creator of Zanac. He is the creator of the Guardian Legend, you know, and Puyo Puyo series. We just had such an amazing cast on this. That's probably why this is still one of my favorite shooters, because it had so many of those things in common with the Guardian Legend, at least as far as power-ups, the way that it moved. But it was really, really solid. It was really listed as one of the best, I would say, 8-bit shooters. Because keep in mind, the TurboGrafx is not a 16-bit system. It is still it's still an 8-bit processor with a 16-bit graphic processor brain. Yeah, it's like a weird hybrid. And on top of that, Blazing Lasers was probably the big thing that people were getting when they weren't playing R-Type. So I would say if no one here has played it, or they've seen like the kind of crappy artwork that came on the Turbo Chip, you know, in the U.S., don't let that fool you. It's kind of like how I look at Master System game art, you know, where it's kind of generic looking. This is an excellent game. If you haven't played it, why the fuck not? And that's it. Blazing Lasers, a.k.a. Gunhead. Now I'm going to find the movie.
All right, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Blazing Lasers.
Dude, this poster looks awesome.
All right.
Okay. They have a ship in it called the Marianne.
I think I actually did play this game once. It's pretty rad. I like that game. So, all right, we're going to take a break, but there is more Orange Lounge Radio to come. We have rapid fire news when we get back. Travel around the world and look at some release dates. We're going to talk a little bit about accessibility in games, some efforts to help developers make more aware about that. And we'll talk a little bit about Mega Man and some of the Mega Man news at a Comic-Con that I'm sure Loki is thrilled about. We'll get to that when we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio.
Holy shit. The US DVD of this is $77.
How dare you interrupt my outro? All right. As I was saying, we'll be right back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 738 of our show for this July 22nd of 2018, already in progress with myself, Dark Sakura, and Loki all here in studio, as we will plan to be over the next few weeks. No shows planned, although unexpected things happen, such as happened last week, but for the most part, should be here for the next few weeks. The next show we're going to have off, though, is Labor Day weekend, as has become typical over the past few years. I don't think we've done a show on Labor Day weekend in probably about 6 or 7 years, because I've been going to Dragon Con every year since VOG was a thing. So, yeah, really looking forward to this year's Dragon Con. I can't say anything officially about the schedule yet, because it's not set in stone yet, but stay tuned to my Twitter and VOG Network for not just my schedule, but we have a lot of representation from the different VOG shows That'll be there at the Dragon Con this year. I know, of course, Bobby should be doing some stuff as well. But some of our other shows, I know, I don't know who all is confirmed going this year, but I know usually like John from Critical Myth and Gary from Critical Myth will probably be there. Brian from British Invaders should be back this year. So, you know, hopefully we'll have some representation across some of the other, you know, TV and other media panels as well. So looking forward to it. In the meantime, let's move on with some more gaming news and some rapid-fire news. Going to Loki.
Yep. So we can talk a little bit about, you know, free updates, since we were mentioning No Man's Sky getting a pretty decent free update soon. The Nintendo Switch is getting an update to Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So with that, you're going to be getting a Breath of the Wild skinned version of the Master Cycle, which is going to be something that's free as well. You can also get the Tunic from Breath of the Wild as well. So that'll be updated for Link. They said also there's going to have some ancient customization parts that'll be added to the other game's cars and paragliders. So you can change it up a bit. Not bad for free.
JD in chat confirming that's already live in the game, yeah.
So I'm curious, though, like, why release it now? I mean, that's neat. I wonder if they have any other announcements that they're going to... Is there still more DLC coming out for Breath of the Wild? I think. Is there?
The two big ones already happened, but who knows? They might do more.
I still have to purchase it again, because I remember I sold it when I got rid of the Wii U, so I still have to get Breath... I never played through it, honestly. I mean... I was going to pick it up when it gets cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, that's a big time sink. And I got to play Skyrim a couple more times, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
Skyrim in 4K. It's 4K now.
Why not?
In VR. And then something else coming to the Switch, actually. So you may remember South Park, The Fractured But Whole, did come to the Nintendo Switch. What's also going to be coming, though, is The Stick of Truth. That is also going to be coming to the Switch. And then along with that, on all platforms, though, is the brand new DLC for South Park, Fractured But Whole, the Bring the Crunch, which is a new, I guess, campaign, which introduces a new class to its battle system. And has, I guess, some aliens, the Mint Berry Crunch, which is an alien from Kokujon. I don't know. But it does take place in the, Lake Titicaca?
Wow.
So that's going to be coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC July 31st. It'll cost $11.99. I can't remember if this is part of the season pass. I have the season pass, I think, if I remember correctly. I bought it with the season pass, so I need to go back and play that because it was a great game.
All right. Going to a couple more stories for you guys, starting with Stardew Valley's multiplayer. That is going live on the PC version of the game August 1st. Console multiplayer to follow after that. There is a new trailer that you can watch that details all of this that came out on the internet that also shows the new farms that look really, really good. So you can check that out over on YouTube or pretty much any gaming blog that probably ran the multiplayer update.
It's a good, relaxing, like, Animal Crossing style game if you like that type of thing.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I couldn't really get totally sucked into Stardew Valley because it didn't really, like, it didn't guide me enough, and I didn't, like, I couldn't really figure out, like, what I was really supposed to be doing, and so it felt, I don't know.
It's like, not really anything you're supposed to be doing.
It felt a little too open-ended to me, if that's, I need my games to have a little more structure.
Well, they have, like, the whole system where you can, you know, unlock stuff in the community center, so that kind of gets you going in different directions to try to, like, grow different things or whatever, and then there's the relationships you can try to, you know, romance people in there.
Maybe if somebody really wants to play the multiplayer, maybe I'll check it out again and get sucked into the multiplayer.
Or the dude that wants you to go on the boat because of the implication, you know?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Anyway, also news about Soul Calibur 6, which I'm looking forward to coming out later this year. It was confirmed that we will be getting Voldo as another character in that game. So a lot of... great characters from the past coming back for Soul Calibur 6, who, of course, is the Hell Guardian of the game. He's the one that has the creepy face mask with like spikes on his eyes and stuff. He looks kind of like weird. But he's back in Soul Calibur 6 for those that really enjoy his little like bendy fighting mechanics. October 19th, again, is the day to look forward to this on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One.
Did you see the Arby's, I think it was cardboard, like cosplay thing that they did for Soul Calibur? It was pretty epic.
They do a lot of that stuff, so I'm not too surprised. So, all right, Darsako, what do you have for us?
Oh, just stuff. We are getting a Sega Ages, Sonic the Hedgehog, Thunder Force 4 included, a Phantasy Star, and some more games. It looks like it's going to be coming out on... hold on, does it say it's on the Switch?
Yes, Switch.
Yeah, it's coming out on the Switch. Well, there was also a mention of... Sonic will have different elements from the 3DS version, like the added spin dash. And the Mega Play arcade version. Thunder Force 4 will include sticks mode from the Sega Saturn version, and it will have leaderboards. Other ones are coming, like Alex Kidd Miracle World, Gain Ground, and, like I said earlier, Phantasy Star. Also, Team Instinct has been kind of the whipping boy of Pokemon Go, because Smad. I don't know if anyone else saw that comic. But Team Instinct has fully redeemed themselves at this year's Pokemon Go Fest. Team Mystic was fairly looking smug, according to what I remember reading on this, except it turned out that Team Instinct were... the highest number of research tasks completed, 9 million. They've blown the other two teams out of the water. So good job, yellow team.
Except honestly, especially after now having reached max level in Ingress, let me tell you, the teams in Pokemon Go, they don't matter.
Smad.
They don't.
Smad.
Yeah, there's still no game yet.
There's no competitive game. It's not a competitive game, exactly. So, all right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some games that will be coming out soon in a store near you, starting with the U.S., Loki.
We have a few things coming out this week. So Mega Man X Legacy Collection is going to be coming out on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Of course, you know, with No Man's Sky next, the Xbox One version of No Man's Sky is going to be coming out. We have the Banner Saga 3 on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then looks like Ease Memories of Celcida, and that's on PC. And Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2 on PlayStation 4. And let's see, last but not least, we've got Go Vacation on Nintendo Switch. And in a game I'm sure my kids will want to play for some stupid reason because they see it on YouTube. But Hello Neighbor is going to be coming out on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, iOS, and Android. And it's a stealth survivor horror game about breaking into someone's house and trying to steal stuff while he tries to kill you. I don't know. I know I've watched videos of it. That's it.
All right, let's travel to Japan, where on the 26th of July, we have Maisetsu Pier Station comes out. There's a regular version of this and one that comes with a figure as well. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know if you get to, like, you know, have sex with the figure or something, but no, I don't think it's that kind of game.
What? That's a jump to conclusions there.
Well, it just looks like another one of those. Anyway, this game, based on the cover art for this game, this is more the game that I think people are going to want to fornicate with fake versions of the characters. Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash.
Well, right, it's Senran Kagura. I mean, of course.
That's right. The naughty ninja girls of Senran Kagura are going to be taking it. This is basically Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, but...
It's squirt guns.
Yeah, it's squirt guns.
And bikinis.
That's right, white bikinis. So you know where this is going. Anyway, the Rockman X Anniversary Collection 1 and 2, obviously that's what they call Mega Man over there, that is also out on July 26th. And you can get a game called Maikai Senkei Disgaea Refine. I don't think that is the same Disgaea game. Oh, no, it is. It is the Disgaea series. So it's like probably some type of like definitive version. That's pretty cool. And then a Dragon Quest X all-in-one package, versions 1 through 4, also releasing in Japan this week, along with a game called Spin Tires Mud Runner is out in Japan this week. So it's a pretty busy week in Japan. A lot of games going into the PlayStation Hits collection over there as well, including Bloodborne, Little Big Planet 3, and Ratchet & Clank the Game, as well as Last of Us Remastered. All of those come out on the 26th as well. And if that isn't enough, why not get the PlayStation 4 Monster Hunter World Value Pack? That is some type of, I think, System Plus game type of bundle. That is pretty much it for the Sony stuff. Looking quickly to see if Nintendo has anything. Yeah, Nintendo has the Rock Band collection as well. That Maikai Senkei Disgaea, the Disgaea remaster is over there as well. Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus gets its Japanese remake. Dragon Quest X is out on the Switch in Japan, so it's going to get that all-in-one package as well. And Daito Shoken no Hitsu Jikai, Library Party. So ain't no party like a library party.
Because library party don't start until everyone shuts the fuck up.
All right.
Or stacks books.
Moving on to the UK, Dark Sakura.
We have on the 24th Train Sim World for PlayStation and Xbox. We have on PlayStation the Persistence VR on the 25th. No Man's Sky on the 27th. Other things on the 27th is Hello Neighbor for Switch and PlayStation. Go Vacation on Switch. The Banner Saga Trilogy Bonus Edition also on the 27th for PlayStation and Xbox. That's it.
All right.
Better than a shart.
This is the part of the show where we would get to the mailbag.
What mailbag?
If we had any emails.
We need like a crickets. Sad version of that song.
Do like in a minor key? A
minor key version. Yeah.
You should just start playing like the funeral dirge.
So anyway, my point is, send us emails. That was 2 weeks and no emails. I'm depressed now.
We got some people asking us to vote in a gubernatorial thing in a state we don't live in.
What kind of spam is that? Jesus.
We haven't gotten any Russian porn spam, though.
Well, that's a plus, I guess. That was something we used to get on the old email address, right?
Yeah.
That's a relief. Anyway, if you want to send us an email, please no spam. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Unless your spam comes with, like, Bitcoin, or, although I wouldn't know what to do with Bitcoin, a freak Steam codes. We'll take those, too.
Where was I where they said that we take cryptocurrency? I was in San Francisco. It was somewhere, like, walking towards Saks. And in the window, it says, we take cryptocurrency. I'm like, you do?
There's a lot of random places, especially in the Bay Area, that will take cryptocurrency as, you know, payment
Maybe
for whatever.
Maybe it was the Dyson vacuum place. No, it wasn't the Dyson, but...
There's a cryptocurrency ATM outside of the arcade that's in the Roosevelt Galleria.
Yes, I've seen that. The cryptocurrency ATM.
And I'm just
ATM.
Like, why does this even exist?
Yeah, I don't even understand how it works. This is where I start to go, I'm old, I'm 40, herp derp, because I don't get
it. Keep your dollars in a mattress.
I would like one cryptocurrency, please.
Yes, I would like one cryptocurrency.
I want to make a cryptocurrency called cryptocurrency. Can we do that? I mean, come on. Everything's like something coin.
Pretty
Let's just
sure
do. I want
exists.
cryptocurrency.
It always is. I would be so down with making VOG coin, or if Bobby Blackwell frowns on that, then fine. OLR coin. He can't stop us from doing that. But I'm all for like a currency that we own. But the question would be, what are you going to buy with it? Because that's how you're going to really give it value, is make it worth something. That like you can trade in one VOG coin for like X. You know what I mean?
Like me screaming at you.
I mean,
one VOG coin for me to scream at you.
That's terrible. I hate that
idea.
I'm
surprised no one's made cryptocurrency for Shroot Bucks yet.
Technically, we kind of, it's not like an actual cryptocurrency, but technically we have like, whose line is it anyway? We have the points, and the points don't matter, but you should still play the game anyway. That's all built into the website, which is why you get that passphrase that shows up during the show if you're listening on the podcast. Or if you're listening live, remember, plug, you just go to live.vognetwork.com and you can click the thing and you can, you know, get points. And once in a while, the site gives you loot when you do certain things. It's like you build up your little profile. It's collect them all. because why do you collect them in Pokemon Go? Why not? So we do have that. We may not have our own cryptocurrency, but we have our own points, and the points don't matter system. So anyway, let's see. I'm looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, use VOG coins to buy games. That would be one use for it. Okay, Loki's game will only be purchasable with VOG coins.
Well, I can't wait to make zero money on that.
Oh, God. All right. Anyway, let's move on to some more video game news stories. Loki.
All right. Well, this is kind of cool. So apparently there's this game dev, I guess, a Game Maker's Toolkit. It's basically a games writer by the name of Mark Brown, and he takes deep dives on certain aspects of gaming, from level design to music. So he started a new series now called Making Games Better. And so with that, it's his first episode is basically making games better for the deaf and hard of hearing. So designing for disability. So that's pretty awesome that he's got this challenge. Kind of gives tips for game developers and how they can do different things for their games to be able to benefit, you know, these other demographics. So, for example, with the designing for disability for deaf and hard of hearing, he says the thing is about video game subtitles, it's more important than any other medium that they're easy to read, because you're trying to divide your attention between subtitles and everything else you need to think about. So, you know, he's got a whole bunch of tips. He's going to be doing this series, I guess, for other aspects as well. And if you want to check it out, you can. And then also he has a Patreon too, if you need to want to support that. But it's pretty neat. I'll have to give it a look and see what they recommend. But it's neat to see that there's resources out there to talk about accessibility, because that's not really something that's brought up a lot in the game dev video tutorial series world.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Just to, like, you know, a lot of times 99% of it is just like awareness. I made that statistic up, but it's just awareness, you know. Yeah. Like, oh, I could do this thing really easily, but if I didn't think to do it, I might not do it, you know. And you can't, like, you have to put every little thing in a game that you make, you know what I mean? Like, you, what I mean by that is that, like, okay, take my reading of the game Tempest 4000 earlier in the show, is that, like, they don't have options in it to, like, change the resolution or use the mouse or remap the buttons, because they just didn't put it in there, you know what I mean? So it's like things like that developers kind of, like, have to put in their games. And even though it might not necessarily be difficult, I don't know, I don't make a lot of games, but, you know,
It's standard practice on PC to do that kind of stuff, even if you don't do it for console. But come on, you gotta realize that you're putting this on PC. You can't just, like, let's copy and paste what I did in this other platform, put it out here. It's fine.
I know. But anyway, back to the topic at hand with the accessibility for, like, for the deaf and so forth. Like, I think it's really cool that, you know, to just build that awareness and, you know, things to do and, you know, what maybe not to do, what color patterns might not be as good to use as certain other color patterns to help people with certain color blindness and, you know, things like that. So pretty cool. All right. Let's move on and talk about a unveiling at Comic-Con this past weekend, which is for Mega Man Fully Charged. That's right. The full trailer for Mega Man Fully Charged came out, and now you can check out what's going to be coming to the Cartoon Network.
I watched the trailer, and I watched also the Episode 1 trailer. The trailer that they have for the whole series looks like hot shit.
Here it is right now. We're going to play it here in studio a little bit, just so, because I want to see Jamie's take on this, too.
Someone who defends the helpless. Someone who fights for unity.
I don't Someone to defend hate the look completely, because it kind of reminds me of Tron, though it does look a little cheap.
It
looks
very
cheap. Unity between man and machine is a lie.
It does look like it was made on
the cheap.
You're wrong, Sergeant Knight. Humans and robots should be together all the time.
I'd try it and make a personal decision from there.
Yeah.
Jim.
This is so we'll see. Anyway,
I can barely hear anything, but I wonder if it's kind of based off the Mega Man EXE or Rockman Battle Network.
No, it's garbage. he's got Micro Man. He's just like this little robot that lives in his helmet that, like, quips stupid shit.
Well, if you want to see for yourself, you can check out a preview on the Cartoon Network app on August 3rd, and then it airs on the actual Cartoon Network on August 5th.
They had a preview, though, for, like, the first episode. They had, like, a trailer, and it showed a little bit more in detail what it was like. And it's not as bad as that trailer, but it still looks bad. I mean, it's just... It's the lowest, like, I don't know, like, I get it, it's not supposed to appeal to me. It's supposed to appeal to kids.
Kids might be into it?
I don't know. I mean, they're into a lot of things, like, all of a sudden, but, like, with that in mind, okay, like, for example, they just put out a Captain Underpants cartoon, because the movie was kind of funny, my kids read the books, and I watched the cartoon.
Wait, I thought your kids couldn't read.
My older kid can.
Oh, okay.
My youngest cannot.
Oh, okay.
My oldest, he can read just fine.
Okay.
No, but like Captain, and I read it to them as well. So, so we watched the cartoon, and the cartoon is for, it's structured like the book, and they have like chapters and stuff, and it's really well animated, and it's funny. It has good writing. You know, that they're into. But this is, like, kind of dumb. This reminds me of, like, the Pac-Man cartoon that they had. And it's just as cheap. Look, the animation looks just as cheap. Or maybe even, like, if... I'm trying to think. What's something else that they like? They like... what's it called? It's... there's another show that's Disney. I think it's Disney. It's... And they have like three ninjas or whatever. Oh, whatever. Doesn't matter. But there's other cheaper cartoons. It's just, I don't think, when you see the animation's kind of cheap. And usually when they skimp on the animation like that, they're also skimping on the writing. And it's just like, it gets tiring after a while and they get bored with it. So unless there's something to really hook them in and make it interesting, I think that it's just going to be kind of, it's going to be there and then it's just, they're going to stop making it. Whatever. I mean, I'm not going to watch it. It looks dumb. I tried watching. I do like that they do some, like, flashback stuff when they're talking about different things. It's like in a retro pixelated, like, sprite. They tell it, like, sprites, and they have, like, sprite little cut, you know, animations between scenes and stuff like that. So that's neat. But once again, who's that appealing to? Is that supposed to appeal to me, the person that played the video games? Or is it supposed to appeal to a kid? A kid doesn't give a shit about that. I don't know. It's just, I wish it was written in a way where, like, it appeals to all audiences. Because you don't have to, why are you dumbing it down? You don't have to dumb that shit down for kids. We used to watch the fucking Batman animated series. That wasn't fucking dumbed down for kids. You know, or Darkwing Duck or any of these, like, DuckTales and shit. Like, I watched, like...
My favorite shit was the stuff that was, like, Tiny Toons and Animaniacs. Where
exactly.
You had, like, two levels of humor.
Exactly. That was great. But...
Old school Rocky and Bullwinkle.
But nowadays, like, even, like, Mickey Mouse, like, my youngest son watches Mickey Mouse stuff on his tablet. That shit's, like, fucking SpongeBob. It's, like, I mean, not to say that SpongeBob is bad, because that appeals to stoner people and everybody. I mean, everybody loves SpongeBob, but it's stupid. But it's, like,
not as much as Adventure, like, Time. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That show's so funny.
You know, I love Adventure Time.
Like, it's like that. And that's fine. But it's not, like, it's not Mickey Mouse anymore.
Nothing makes me want to smoke weed like episodes of Adventure Time. I'm just saying.
But the new Mickey Mouse show is, like, fucking, like, Adventure Time or Ren and Stimpy or something like that. It's just fucking crazy. If you watch that and, I don't know, it just is weird. But I guess it's just the demographic nowadays is the kids like that kind of crap. I mean, it's fine. It's more interesting than the other Mickey Mouse cartoons. And the DuckTales, the new DuckTales is fucking awesome. But I don't think this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome like Sonic. What's the Sonic show they have now? That's shit.
Sonic Boom?
Hero. Sonic Boom, yeah. No one gives a shit about Sonic Boom. No one's fucking like, oh my God, I need to see that new episode of Sonic Boom.
I gotta get home so I can watch Sonic
Boom. I gotta watch my Sonic Boom. No one fucking cares about that. Like, no one's gonna fucking care about this show either. And that's what pisses me off. It's like, more Capcom, when you're licensing Mega Man, make it more like Mega Man 11, not fucking Bad Box Mega Man that was in, you know, the fighting games.
But I am all about new She-Ra that dresses like a normal person. I'm all about that.
New She-Ra?
Yeah.
She wears real fucking armor. Like,
yeah.
An actual breastplate, shorts under her skirt.
Instead of like a titty plate, she dresses like somebody might actually wear something. So
real armor. About fucking time.
All right. Moving on. Let's go to a different type of gaming story, Dark Sagra.
Well, I'm sure we've seen an increase of diagnoses with kids with attention problems and kids having trouble with their own anger management. There is a game. Now, this game came out in November last year, but it's getting a lot more attention. It's called Mightier. And for kids who have issues with anxiety or anger problems, what they do is they have the strap that goes on their forearm that measures their heart rate and oxygen level. And so the game itself will change based on their heart rate and oxygen level, as in anxiety or stress response. So they actually get rewarded for forcing themselves to calm down, to breathe, to do soothing techniques. So basically the game is to teach them how to self-regulate their own moods. And actually has been rather lauded by a good series of behavioral pediatricians. Although there are some people who have been pretty much against it because, you know, it's just more, they think that more video games is going to lead to more attention problems. But a lot of kids have found, you know, the game, because it teaches them this, they are now doing these things in real life, because now they know that it should be a situation that they should calm themselves in. So I think it's actually a pretty good idea that they're now bringing video games into modern psychology. I think it's really awesome. Yeah, that was my story.
Cool. What do you think maybe we can take from this for, like, I guess, if you will, mainstream development of games?
Well, I think that the same techniques could be applied toward adults, for one thing. I think that... I don't know. It makes me think that if we had the vitality sensor... If that had come out, Nintendo would have done more things like that, too. You know, it's kind of an old concept, if you think about it. But I think that if it helps, I think, kids with all of these issues become better members of society, who knows, it could also inspire, you know, more games to help with, you know, social issues or, you know, or even going back to the accessibility issues, you know, thinking in terms of using these as tools and not just as entertainment.
Helping these kids to be the future creators.
Something like that.
I like that. In chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Captain Spike says, wow, this is an awesome idea. Dungeon Buster in chat says, there's an article I found on the net of an old game mag from the early 80s that interviewed a psychologist who used wizardry to help patients like children get out of their shells and socialize. Wizardry as in the Sir Tech game, not like, you know... like Harry Potter. You're a wizard, Harry. Not like that. Like the actual game wizardry, if you remember that from back in the day. That's pretty cool. All right, just a few more stories for you guys, then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. First, Loki.
All right, so there's a new Famicom game coming out. It's not exactly new. It's not new, as you will, but it's basically a Japanese port of the game Battle Kid. And for those not... familiar with Battle Kid is an insanely fucking hard game that looks very much like I Want to Be the Guy. In fact, you know, the main character looks exactly like I Want to Be the Guy, but it plays more like Mega Man. So, you know, they have released this. Originally, it was on an NES cartridge in 2010, and now it's actually making its way to the Famicom as well. So they've done a few things with the Japanese version. So they of course, translation. They also switched to hit points instead of one-hit deaths, which I find interesting because that's the whole point of the game. It's supposed to be fucking hard and one-hit deaths, but whatever. They have a life counter, added some new checkpoints, added a new boss, new stage, new sound effects, 11 new music tracks, doubled the ROM size, and changed the movement and attack patterns of some of the enemies. So, pretty cool. And that's going to be that actually came out. It's supposed to be releasing in Japan September of this year.
Nice. All right. Well, one more story for you guys out of Comic-Con, and then we're going to get to our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. But if you're a big fan of Overwatch and you're a big fan of Nerf, where you're going to be very happy because they are releasing official Overwatch Nerf blasters. This particular first one that's coming out is modeled after Reaper's weapon in Overwatch. So it's these little, like, hand shotgun things. But, yeah, now you can get a Nerf version of this. Nerf is partnering with Blizzard on the official Overwatch Nerf gun, the Nerf Rival Overwatch Reaper White Edition. It's due in 2019. It mimics the look of the shotgun, but obviously the functionality is a little bit different. You get 8 little Nerf rounds for this, and there's a ready indicator and a safety lock with this. So Dartus in chat says, I don't play Overwatch, but that is really cool, in my opinion. Yeah, you don't have to play Overwatch to understand a Nerf gun. So it's pretty cool. So no pricing has been announced yet. I'm sure it's probably not going to be very cheap, but it probably won't be too crazy either. So who knows what will come after this? Will they do weapons based off, you know, Soldier 76's weapon or Tracer's guns or what? We'll see what happens. So anyway. We'll see what comes of this Hasbro partnership a little later on. All right. Anyhow, with that, we are going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call to talk about anything that we've talked about tonight or maybe something that we missed, we're happy to take your call right now. While we wait to see if anybody calls in, Loki, any other stories that we didn't get to tonight? Some last minute stories? I feel like it was.
No.
I mean, even though we had Comic-Con this weekend, which is a big deal, it's not a
very
gaming.
There was stuff during the week that, like, I saw and I'm like, I know I'm going to forget that come Sunday, and I didn't write it down. And I know there was other things that happened that were, like, pretty significant, and I'm just. And I even went back today. I'm like looking for that stuff. And I know one of them was that whole the AI thing, which we talked about. But there is another thing too, and I can't remember what it was. I guess it's not a huge thing. There was the two countries. I can't remember which countries, the European countries now, that had issue with the loot boxes in Counter-Strike Go, that they actually removed loot boxes out of. Those regions because of the whole laws regarding it, because they're going to face a bunch of fines in regards to the loot boxes being gambling. So I know that that was a thing, but that's kind of minor. But it is interesting to see that they're having to take action for that stuff already. But yeah, not a whole lot of news, a lot of Comic-Con stuff, lots of movies.
Yeah, a lot of that's movie talk, though. Any let's allow ourselves to deviate a little bit here to some of the other nerd stuff. Any of the nerd stuff out of Comic-Con catch your eye?
I'm surprised that the Aquaman trailer looked pretty good. I don't really like DC stuff too much anymore, but the Aquaman trailer looked awesome. And then, of course, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Oh, fuck, that's awesome. It looks so
amazing.
That's
the one with the kid from Stranger Things in it, huh?
Yeah, but it just looks so good. And then Glass looks interesting. I want to see that. I can't think of what else I saw. I am excited, of course, to see the new Invader Zim movie whenever that comes out. It looks very much Invader Zim. I'm just sad that that's all there is just the movie, not rebooting
not
the show.
Not a new show or anything?
Yeah. But whatever. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much it. Oh, they have the Voltron Lego set coming out. They were selling it at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming out on August 1st.
I still need to put together my Tron light bike that I finally bought at the Lego store. Yeah, I really need
to. It's a very, 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 very quick build.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But cool.
We still haven't put together our DeLorean.
Oh, did you get like an official?
We have two of them.
Oh, cool.
Oh, God. That thing's like... That's pretty old now.
I know. We have a couple of them just because Dan wanted one to build and one to keep in the box. So
I like that. Whenever I think of Lego, I think of like Toys R Us and how they all went under because a lot of people were trying to get the deals on the Legos and stuff. But like we haven't seen what's going to go in at any of those old retail places, huh? Like a lot of these stores.
Halloween costume shop. Oh, whenever
Dude, Spirit is where I buy all my house decorations.
But it's like they're everywhere, and so it's like, oh boy, last thing we need is another one of those. I don't know.
But that's fine. I don't know what they would put in there. I mean, I don't know. I'm waiting to hear about KB coming back. We need something. Sears closed down, our local Sears.
Oh, the one at Sunrise?
Sunrise, that's gone.
Oh, that's sad.
Completely gone.
I mean, I get it. It's not like I'm crying.
But like, what's left of that mall? It's pretty empty. They have a toy store. It's like a mostly a board game store, but they have toys there. It's just kind of lame.
I think that you find like stuff now at places like Box Lunch or
the Box Lunch that we used to have up here closed too.
The one at Arden Fair is there.
The one up in there was one in Plateau, I think.
Oh wow!
No, the Arden Fair one's like nice and big.
We got a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, what's up, buddy?
Do I sound a lot better than the last time I called in?
You do sound a lot better. Your volume's stabilizing a little bit, but that's normal. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, a couple of things I want to mention. And on a side note, I got on that Amazon deal thing. I got a brand new mic for like $60, so I'm kind of happy about that.
Shoot, there you go. Good news, good news. Well, what's up, my friend?
We were talking earlier about Antenna TV and MeTV, and I'm kind of thankful because I can get them on my...
Hey, buddy, you suddenly, like, your volume dropped significantly. I don't know if you moved away from your mic or something, but, like, we can't hear your question.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, sir.
All right, this microphone is extra sensitive from what I can tell.
Interesting.
But what I was saying was Antenna TV, MeTV... It's not just available over the air, but depending on your local cable provider, you can catch them that way too.
Yes, some of them. Some of the channels are so cheap that cable doesn't even bother to pick them up. But you're right. Some of those channels are on your local cable. But, you know, with more and more people that are cord cutting these days, it is still pretty impressive what you can pick up with an antenna if you're willing to watch old stuff. You know, some people aren't interested in watching, you know, old reruns of Mama's Family, which to those people I say boo because there's a lot of stuff that you can pick up with an antenna these days. I especially bet in a place like New York City or something, it's probably even doubly so than, you know, a more remote part of the country. I wouldn't call Sacramento remote, but, you know, we probably still don't have as many channels over the air as you guys have.
Well, I mean, being here in New York City, I can pick up stations like in Southern Connecticut, per se. So that's not so bad.
Right.
Now, if you're in North Jersey, you're going to get the regular New York City stations. Now, down by where Mako-chan lives and where Ari lives, if they went to OTA antenna, actually more where Ari lives, he could pick up the local Philly-affiliated stations.
Oh, wow. I remember as a kid, when we used to, like, if you could aim the antenna, like, just the right way, you could get Fox out of the Bay Area.
yes, because I remember for a short period of time, this defied all logic. I was able to pull a station in from, like, New Hampshire. And yeah. I'm like, it's got to be bouncing off of a local affiliate or something like that, because it was staticky and I could see the call symbols and stuff like that. But, you know.
Kids today will never understand having to sift through the static to see these. Or even better yet, when you're trying to watch Cinemax when you didn't pay for it, and it's like, I think I saw a boob in like a wavy green type of filter.
Now, I remember when we first got cable in our town, and there was a remote, but it was a wired box, and it wasn't numbers. It was numbers till you got to 13, and then it was letters. So you're telling the dial, and I just remember it being at my cousin's house that Nickelodeon was Channel K. That was the main thing that I really cared about.
I remember in the mid-80s, like, we had a cable thing here. It was like Jones Cable or something, or it was in Roseville where I grew up. Before, like, Comcast bought them all out, they had, like, a thing on – they had a service, like, in the mid-80s where you could, like, download games to your TV and play these games on your, like, remote. Like, and this was, like, way before this became commonplace in, like, the day and age of apps. So, like, I don't know why that didn't really catch on more, but, like, I remember thinking that was, you know, it's way ahead of its time. Yeah, crazy stuff. Anyway, all right. Well, my friend, is there anything else you want to share with us? Or
one thing.
Yeah.
If Ook-chan does Maria, you have to do Prince Peach.
I'm open to that. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
You have to throw it out and just dye it a nice peach pinkish color. You will look so boss.
Well, maybe I want to be Prince Rosalind. I don't know how to boyify that name, but who cares? Rosalind.
You could just be like Prince Ross.
Yeah, Prince Ross. Or maybe I want to be, instead of Daisy, I would be Daniel, I guess.
Daffodil.
Anyway. I think that you got to get Alan in on this, and you got to go to a con. The fangirls would lose their shit, especially if they see the wedding rings.
Okay, I kind of love the idea of Alan and I both doing it, and one of us is Peach and the other one is Daisy.
Yes.
That might have to happen.
If it does, I may have to fly out for that convention. Seriously.
Yeah. I think it might
be. Well, you have Prince Peach and Duke Daisy.
It might be better if I'm.
As in the other way around.
I know. It might be better if I'm Daisy, though, because like JD says in chat, "Hi, I'm Daisy." Like, I'll have to go around the con. "Hi, I'm Daisy." And I don't think Alan would want to do that. All right. Anyway, but I think Alan would be more than happy to say Peach is the winner. All right. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, my friend. But thank you so much for the call.
No problem. Y'all take care.
Bye. I'm Daisy. Oh, my God. I'm dying. JD in chat says, swear to God, Super Smash Ultimate had better have "Hi, I'm Daisy" be a taunt. Oh, if it's not, return it. Throw it in the trash. If it's not an actual taunt in the game, it better. All right. We're going to go ahead and close up Skype for now. If you didn't get through, you want to say something to us, you can always email us. participate@orangeloungeradio.com.
I bet they're going to have the Rabbids in there.
They might. That would make
sense. Because
then
they could do, like,
as a character,
you know, costumes.
Yeah.
They have all the weird, like, Rabbids that they have in the Mario Kingdom Battle, which is another game that my son has played that I still haven't played yet. Cause
the Mario Kingdom Battle?
Yeah, we have it. Wow. We just haven't played it.
All right.
I haven't played it. He's played it.
Well, we're going to wrap up another episode of Orange Lounge Radio with that. Thank you guys so much for downloading and listening to our show and supporting us. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on the air, how can we hear them? So, yeah, tell a friend. Leave a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Google Play Podcasts or wherever it is you found this show. Those go a really long way, let me tell you. And I know I say that every week, but it seems like nobody ever does it. So please. You know, if you have 5 seconds to help us out, I really, really, really appreciate it. So that's going to do it. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Dark Sagra, I'll start with you. Your final thought.
Wasps suck. I got stung in the chin by the same two wasps and had allergic reactions, of course. And that was a week and a half ago. And it looks like it's finally starting to heal, but now it's peeling and it hurts. Mm-hmm. Wasps are assholes. And vote.
My final thought is I had a really good time going out randomly last night, but I have to remind myself that I still can get hangovers, and thank God mine went away before the show tonight. Loki, your final thought tonight.
The wasps like making nests at our house, and I like spraying them with poison. So there's that.
Hooray for poison. All right. That's it. That's going to do it for another episode. We'll see you in 7 days to do it all again. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.